podcast is a production of the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Good afternoon and welcome to President's Football Preview, heard prior to Washington and Jefferson College football here on WJPA this afternoon. W&J hosts Bethany. I'm Mark Uriah, and as always, we will talk to W&J head football coach Mike Sirianni. Mike, I read one of your quotes the next day in the paper about hearing that the program hadn't won a big game in a while, and now you don't have to answer that question.
Well, I mean, we have won big games, so that wasn't true. We haven't won a game that would have clinched us. So that's true in both ends. We haven't won a game that clinched us a conference championship, and we still haven't done that yet. I mean, we have won big games. A lot of those wins didn't clinch us a conference championship, and that game doesn't. So in both cases, I'm kind of right there. We still have work to do, but, you know, we are happy to get that win. Our kids played extremely hard. And they fought and they battled through a lot of adversity. I mean, it looked like at points in that game, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're still snake bitten. We can't get out of our own way. And they kept fighting, and I give them a lot of credit.
Maybe I should rephrase the question, but the significance of the game when you beat the seventh ranked team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a credit to Grove City and Andrew. And Andrew and I are pretty close. Di Donato at Grove City, and he's a good man. And I mean, if you'd have told me 10 years ago if we beat Grove City, we'd have stormed the field, I'd have told you you're crazy. I mean, he's done a terrific job there. Grove City has made a commitment to be good in athletics, and it showed. And it was a huge win for us.
You talked about looking at times like you couldn't get out of your own way. That jumped up early with the early fumble.
Yeah, and then it's nothing. Yes, it is something we do turnover circuit and fumble drills every day. And both fumbles, you look at it, both fumbles, the one there that gave them an early lead and the one that kept them in the game. I know our guys aren't trying to fumble. JP and Owen aren't trying to fumble, but their ball security, everyone talks about four pressure points. We talk about five, and they didn't have the five. And that's something that we went over this week and emphasized a lot. But they were good plays by them. I mean, it wasn't like we just dropped the ball. I mean, their guys put their helmet on the ball and their hand on the football, but it also was bad ball security by us. Really, the one the hit going into the shield is the one I still can't get over, because we were going to get the ball about in the 40-yard line and, you know, in good position. And all of a sudden, we're giving them the ball. So overcame three turnovers in that game, and I was proud about how our players fought.
Well, yeah, and I want to talk about the response to the early fumble. Yes, Gross did score, but defensively, you made him work for it. And the second one, you know, a little over 7 minutes left, and it left the door ajar for them to come back. And even though they held the ball for a while, your defense stood tall, and you were eventually able to seal the deal.
Yeah, I mean, their offense is built to shorten the game and to really frustrate you. But in that instance, their offense also hurt them a little bit, because if they weren't going to score on that possession, they weren't going to win the game. They had to score on that possession, and we kind of knew that. We knew that, hey, listen, we stop them once, we're going to win, and that was our emphasis going into that drive.
I want to ask you about Mason Kasprak, who stepped in last week at corner. From what I could see, it looked like he did a really good job.
Yeah, he played really well. You know, you're happy when a senior, and Mason has played before. He hasn't really been a starter, but he's been part of our nickel package and has played in some big plays and big games for us. But when he gets a chance to start for the first time and he plays so well, you're really happy for a kid that's persevered. And with the transfer portal and all this kind of stuff going on, you know, you have a kid at our level, or a young man, excuse me, at our level, who stuck it out and didn't transfer, and now he gets his chance to shine. And you're really proud of when a young man can do something like that.
We talked a little bit about your wide receivers prior to the game last week versus Grove City's wide receivers and what we've seen from them the last couple of years. You have to be thrilled with what you got from your passing game on Saturday. Those guys, and Jake, obviously, stood tall, and those three guys were a huge reason why you won that football game.
Yeah, I mean, Grove City's front six, and honestly, this is not an exaggeration, is as good as there is maybe in the country. And we knew that going in. And they, in terms of stopping the run, and there's a reason that they're, I think, number two in the country in run defense, and they held Carnegie Mellon to minus 12 yards. And our flaws, I knew I was going to maybe get criticism if we lost, but I'm like, listen, we have a good running game, but against them, let's take advantage of our one-on-one matchups. Let's take advantage. Let's try to triple Ben Blado, which we did at times. We had three people on him at times, and take him away from the game and let our wideouts work. And Jake did a great job executing that.
Well, and defensively, too, while Nico Flatty did run for over 100 yards, he only averaged 3.3 per carry. So, you know, you made them march the ball downfield, and defensively, in most cases, you were able to get stops.
Yeah, and we were. And that was the thing with a game like this with them, you know your possessions are going to be limited. It's not going to be a 12-14 possession type game. I don't even know what it was. I didn't look. But I'm guessing it was a 10 possession type game. We scored four touchdowns, and I think we only punted twice. I mean, it might not even have been a 10 possession. We fumbled a couple times. So that's an 8-9 possession game, and we knew that. So our defense stood up tall when we needed to. We forced a couple field goals instead of giving up touchdowns, and they made the big plays at the end.
Well, and I thought, you know, the last couple of minutes, well, actually, about I think it was the last 6:40 of the second quarter, you had three third down conversions, and eventually got a touchdown to Jake McCosko. And then you get the ball again with 57 seconds left, and get another McCosko touchdown. I mean, you know, in that last 6:40 or thereabouts, 5.5 minutes really, I think is what about it amounted to. You went from down 16-6 to up 20-16.
Yeah, that was a big 6 minutes, and obviously, you know, the superstition part of me, and I was asked this at halftime, the halftime interview on the TV version. I'm like, yeah, you're talking to us again. And I almost want to be like, well, I wish I wasn't, because when I talked to you last time, I wasn't talking to you at the end because you talked to the winner. But obviously, you'd rather be ahead at halftime. I mean, you know, the more points you score, the more you're better chance you're going to have. And those were two big catches from Jake, and that was really a big. You know, we got helped out by an interference call, but that was a good execution of a two-minute drive by our offense. And it's a veteran offense. They've done it before, and, you know, I'm sure we're going to have to do it again this season.
More with Mike Sirianni on President's Football Preview when we come right back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
It's the NFL on Sports USA, and we're in the Emerald City as the Buffalo Bills head west to face the Seattle Seahawks. The Hawks have Geno feeding the ball deep to Lockett and DK Metcalf. The Bills will stampede towards the end zone with Allen, Shakir, and James Cook.
Throwing, got a man all alone at the 10 and walking into the end zone. Well, I thought he was going to walk in, but doing a flip is James Cook.
It's the Bills at the Seahawks this Sunday on Sports USA.
Coverage starts at 4 o'clock on 1450 AM WJPA.
Back on President's Football Preview with W&J head football coach Mike Sirianni. President's getting ready to host Bethany this afternoon at Cameron Stadium. Senior day today. So, and of course you got a lot of fifth year guys too. And this is a big group and a group that I know you are very proud of. You know, a lot of the fifth years came back because they wanted one more shot, and that win last week I think went a long way to maybe help them reach the ultimate goals that they have. But this is a big day today with a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, some of them walked last year too. They're going to do it again. So, you know, it is a big group. You know, not only are the 5 to 7, I don't remember exactly how many fifth-year seniors we have that have been with us. It seems like someone like Anthony Rosati seems like he's been here forever. Justin Johns, obviously, you know, I can't remember the last time I have a team with not them on it. And then, you know, your true fourth-year seniors, obviously, you have some great players in Dawson and Jake Pugh, who have had terrific careers. Zach Cernuto, who you're going to talk to today, who's had an outstanding and really an underrated career. He's been a terrific player. So it's a bittersweet day. It's sad to see him go. We still have a lot of business. Like I said, that's why they came back. And hopefully we're just starting, okay, to get going where we're going to be.
Let's talk about Bethany. First thing that I see when I look at them is they are really young.
Yeah, they are. They have a young quarterback. They have some young receivers, and they are young. And that's, you know, and that's too bad. They cannot really maintain, I retain players, and that's that may be more of an institutional thing than a football thing, because I think Brian's a really good football coach and has done a good job recruiting. So, yes, they're young. What I see, though, is I see a team that's improved. Yeah, you look at last week's game, and they didn't win, but it was 27-14, 20-14 at one point with a Waynesburg team that played with us for a little bit. They gained more yards than we did against Grove City. So especially offensively, I see a team that's totally different than they were early in the year, and a team that can challenge us with the receivers outside and a young quarterback that is very talented.
You know, we have this conversation every now and then. This is the classic let down, or I don't like the phrase trap game, but it's that classic type of situation where you're coming off a huge emotional win and you're playing a winless team the following week. But I suspect you pounded up when you talked about Bethany improving, I suspect you pounded that point home this week.
Yeah, we did a couple of things. We did that, and we did a lot of, because of the way Grove City and Geneva play, we weren't able to do A's on A's, like our best against our best, you know, our A defense versus our A offense. And we usually do that in practice. And just because you're playing the triple option 2 weeks ago against Geneva, and then last week you're playing an offense that really only runs five or six plays and can only does certain things, you know, it was kind of, you know, not really beneficial for us to do A's on A's or good against good. This week we did a ton of that. We did a ton of our good player, our A offense versus our A defense, which I hope helps us and prepare today's game.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Good luck.
Thank you.
Mike Sirianni, head coach at Washington and Jefferson College. You're listening to President's Football Preview, and offensive coordinator Sean Glossick will join me when we come right back.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
It's the NFL on Sports USA, and we're headed to Foxborough as the New York Jets fly into New England to battle the Patriots. The Pats have Drake leading the offense with Ramondre in the backfield.
He'll get the handoff running right, and he turned a corner. He does. It gets to the sideline and gets into the end zone. Touchdown, New England!
The Jets are ready for takeoff with Hall, Wilson, and the timeless Aaron Rodgers. It's the Jets at the Patriots this Sunday on Sports USA.
Coverage starts at 12:30 on 1450 AM WJPA.
Back on President's Football Preview, going to talk to the W&J offensive coordinator, Sean Glossick. And I know you really don't want to talk about this too much, but I have to bring it up. You were offensive coordinator of the week nationwide 2 weeks ago when you put up the 72 against Geneva. And I know it caught you by surprise.
Yeah, it sure did. I was contacted by a member of Division3Football.com, and they voted me for offensive coordinator of the week, and you know, I thought it was really cool to be recognized, but at the same time, it's definitely a players' award. They just go out there and do what I tell them to do. So, but they still are the ones that got to go do it, and they were great that day, and they've been great all year. And I'm just very, very fortunate to be a part of such a great group.
And I know that didn't feel anywhere near as good as last week's victory.
Correct. One of the first things I said when I found out is, can I trade this for a guaranteed win against Grove City? we were able to get it done anyways, but that was a great, great win by our kids and for our program, and I'm very, very proud, like I said, to be a part of such a great great group of guys and excited to keep this thing rolling.
Let's talk about that game last week. I'm not sure if I have it here in front of me. Not a lot of rushing attempts in the game. I don't know if that was the thought going in. I know you always want to be balanced, but was that maybe based on what they were showing you defensively?
Yeah, so, you know, for starters, Grove City is a great team, and they are great in all three phases of the game. In particular, on their defensive side, they were giving up some they were willing to give up some stuff, some quick hitters on the perimeter, and, you know, we were able to take advantage of it. And also, you know, I think the strength of their entire team is their front seven on defense. Obviously, you know, you have number five, who is an amazing, amazing player, and then both their inside linebackers, their defensive line in general, those guys fly around and make make plays all over the place like they did again on Saturday night. But, you know, they gave us some stuff in the passing game that we were willing to take advantage of, and we ended up doing so. And you know, like I said, very, very proud of the way we went out there and executed.
Yeah, you mentioned your number five, Ben Bladel. Coach Sirianni and I talked about him last week. And Mike said that he may be the best defensive player that he has gone against in all his years here at WNJ, which is really saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what you did with him, because he can be and often is a game wrecker.
Yeah. So some of the things that we did was we slid the line to him a few times. We got the backs and the tight ends involved and chipping and all that kind of stuff. And we made sure he was rarely ever left alone. So therefore that wouldn't happen, and he wouldn't take a complete control of the game like he has shown before. And I also think Coach Sirianni might be right. Like, I haven't been in this conference as long as he has, but I've seen some pretty darn good defensive players, and he is right there at the top with all of them.
Let's talk about Bethany, a team that, from what I can see, is really, really young, still looking for their first win. Played a couple of close games, played Allegheny close. Just talk about what you see in them defensively and how they will challenge you today.
Some of the things that they do defensively, in particular with their fronts, they do a lot of movement. They'll shift their D-line around a little bit. They'll bring some pressure from different types of areas. So that's one of the things that we need to be aware of. And then, you know, they have some speed in the back end, and they can do some different things to try and take away some of our stuff. So we're excited for the challenge.
All right, Sean, thanks a lot, and good luck today.
Thank you.
Sean Glossick, WNJ Offensive Coordinator. Tight end Zach Cernuto joins me when President's Football Preview continues. We're back right after this.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
Ryan Racky here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me this week for an NFC matchup between Dallas and San Francisco. Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and the 49ers fell to 3-4 last week. Now they host Dak Prescott and a 3-3 Cowboys team, also off to a rough start. But they are coming off their bye week. Should be a fun one. Don't miss any of the action on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Welcome back to our final segment of President's Football Preview. W&J getting ready to host Bethany this afternoon. We're going to talk to, for lack of, we'll use the word tight end, Zach Cernuto. And, you know, Zach, I know you do a lot of different things. Is tight end an apt description? I know the job description is a little bigger than that.
Yeah, kind of like the tight end H-back rule. You know, just getting put in different situations kind of makes our offense a little less predictable. So I think it kind of like helps our offense out, being able to do all those kind of different things that I've had to do.
Huge win last week over Grove City. We have to talk about that first. Just talk about what that did for team morale and more, maybe more importantly, the outlook for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. We are a much better outlook for the rest of the year. Energy at practice has been great all week. You know, just knowing that we can do that, we can get over that step, facing that setback against Carnegie Mellon a couple weeks ago. But yet being Grove City now, I think it puts us in a lot better situation moving forward, knowing that we can kind of control our own destiny now, not having to rely on other teams. So it's kind of an energy booster, I think, because the team's just knowing that we can do this and that we can make a run here.
You know, I last couple of years, actually it's been a number of years now for Grove City, where they have had big, tall, difficult-to-guard wide receivers. And coming into this game, I started thinking about, or coming into last week's game, I guess I should say, started thinking about John Peduzzi and Jake McCosko, and remembering the kind of game that those two guys had last year, mm-hmm, at Grove City. And they not just put it this way, they outshined the Grove City wide receivers this past week, and that was a big reason why you won the ball game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Peduzzi and McCoska, they're, I think, two best receivers in the nation. They're outstanding, can go up, get the ball. They run great routes every day, so we know we can rely on them whenever we need them the most, especially in big games.
Now, you guys didn't run the ball particularly well or even all that often. Was that by design?
Well, I mean, Grove City's got a great front seven. They're great against the run. I just think our RPOs and our pass game was working that game. So we just kind of like stick with what was working, you know, get the ball in our playmakers' hands because Peduzzi and McCoska were making plays all game. Felt like we had great matchups on the outside, so we just kind of like took advantage of that, and they performed great.
I remember Coach Sirianni telling me probably 2 years ago that you were a high school quarterback.
Yeah.
And of course they, you know, they would use you in the goal line wildcat, which we have not seen as much of this year. The goal line short yardage stuff seems to be a little different, but just talk about how playing quarterback, I would think, would help anybody because you're, you know, as a quarterback, you learn to kind of survey the whole field. Tell me how that has helped you in terms of the role you have now.
Oh, definitely. Just knowing to what the quarterback's kind of seeing from his point of view, kind of like the different reads or understanding the offense completely helps with blocking schemes and figuring out what defenses are trying to do against us. And I think that kind of like helps me put myself in a better situation to help the offense succeed. And I kind of ran like a similar style offense with kind of like the RPOs and the spread formation, stuff like that. So I think that's really helped with my position now, doing what I do.
When you came here as a freshman, did you come as a quarterback, or did you already know that you would probably be playing another position?
On my visit, Coach Sirianni talked to me about playing this tight end H-back role. Attracted me to W&J more and kind of led my decision coming here and coming in my freshman year knowing that I was like one of the only freshman tight ends. I think that put me in a better spot to play early, getting to play special teams and stuff like that. So,
and you know, there's obviously another aspect to it. There's a big part of what you do is blocking, you and Ray Holmes both. So you are a lot of times the sixth and maybe seventh offensive lineman.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're always communicating with the offensive linemen, doing drills with them, working on our blocking and stuff like that. That was something I definitely had to adjust to from being a quarterback in high school, was blocking, getting the footwork down, getting everything down, which I think the coaches have done a great job helping me out with that.
Let's talk about Bethany. First, in general, in terms of your guys' approach, you know, it's human nature, especially after playing a huge game last week, and you know, you get to a certain emotional level, it's almost human nature, and you see it oftentimes where a lesser opponent comes in the following week, and it's not even, you know, put it this way, you see teams let down, mm-hmm. and a lot of times I'm sure they think they're doing everything. You mentioned how practice had been good this week. So I'm sure you know everybody thinks they did all the right things, but I'm sure that's something you're guarding against.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to keep our energy up throughout the game, getting the fast start on offense. Our offense mentality is going to score every time we get the ball. So I think if we execute our game plan that the coaches have for us this week, they always give a good game plan every week that we'll be in a successful position. Defense has been playing great, and I'm sure they'll continue to do that against Bethany.
Let's talk about Bethany's defense quickly. Just talk about what they do defensively and the types of things that, you know, you guys have been working on this week that you know you're going to have to deal with to be successful.
Well, I know their front seven, they kind of like rotate between like an odd and even front. They're, you know, they got some good athletes, some good playmakers on defense, so we got to be able to run the ball well, effectively, which we kind of have struggled a little bit with, but I think we can definitely get that going this week, and once again, get the ball to our playmakers on the outside, Peduzzi and McCoska.
Last question, you're a senior. Where do you see yourself a year from now?
A year from now, in physical therapy school, on that track to be a physical therapy. So hopefully I'll be in grad school, getting things done, moving forward there.
All right, Zach, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, and good luck today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Zach Cernuto, President's tight end. That'll do it for President's Football Preview today. Getting close to kickoff, W&J and Bethany. We're back on WJPA right after this.
This is Coach Guy Monicalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
My dream field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My dream field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My dream field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
And good afternoon from Cameron Stadium. Bob Gregg, John Sacco here in the booth. Jack Sacco will be along a little later on to keep us on the straight and narrow, as much as a 20-year-old can do that to a couple of older guys. Great to have you along, John. We've wrapped up the 2024 high school football regular season without a single flake of snow. And there's no snow here today. It's a little chilly, but we're good. But just an absolutely gorgeous day. It was supposed to be cloudy.
Absolutely brilliant day. Sunny, nice temperature. Let's just hope we get through healthy.
Talk about, as a player, talk about how you go into a game like this. For W&J, I mean, this is a game that you got to win. You're going to win. You're almost certainly going to win. I mean, that team on the other side wants to win too, but you're a better football team. You come off the big win last week. You got the big game at Case Western Reserve next week. How do you not get caught in that trap?
Well, this never happened to me in football, because when I played at Washoe, we weren't good enough to get in these situations. But it has happened to me in baseball and as a coach. The thing you have to keep your eye on is this. They're still an opponent. You still got to come out and play hard, because you don't want to do anything to be different. You want to try to stay consistent. Now, look, human nature is human nature. You know you're going to win this football game. And if you don't, it's a major catastrophe.
You know, I've had these kind of conversations with Guy Montecalvo, with Mike Bosnick, with Mike Sirianni. And as a coach, it's your responsibility to make sure your players are not caught in that trap thing. But you can't control all of it. And Guy said this years ago. They're not stupid kids, Bob. They read the papers. They listen to the talk shows. They're on, you know, Facebook, that kind of stuff. They're on the message boards. They know. They have to be responsible.
You're right. It does come down to the individual's responsibility. I'm going to take it one further. I talked to Jim Leon about this a long time ago. The thing you have to try to do is be as consistent as you are each week. Look, they're not going to get to the pitch they were last week against Grove City. They shouldn't. You can only do that a few times in a season, in a football season. But you try to stay with what you do as consistent as you always are. Now, look, they're going to come out here and play, and they're going to beat Bethany. Let's be honest, okay? But you can't start thinking about Case Western until tonight. And, of course, that's a huge football game next week. But you got to take care of your business now, okay? You just have to. And they're senior enough to do that.
And if you don't take care of your business, next week doesn't mean anything.
No.
It's completely gone.
And it will be a complete embarrassment, too. I mean, and I'm not trying to – Bethany's just not on WJ's level right now.
Presidents have won 39 of the last 40 meetings between these two teams. And I do want to pass along our recognition that – We've had a few connection issues here at WJ, and I have to tell you, we have worked, we have tried things, we've done all kind of things, and we're on the one way that has worked every time, and so we're going to stay that way, and we'll deal with it as we go forward. Great to have you along on WJPA AM in Washington, online WJPA.com, and the WJPA Sports Network. WJ will receive the opening kickoff, taking the ball on the move at the 13-yard line is Kobe DeRose up the hash marks, now to the middle of the field, cut it back to the hash marks right, 30. 35, made a man miss, reverses field, gave up about 4 yards, and not going to get out of the bunch this time, but going to be spotted out to about the 34, 21 on the return. Nation's leading passer in terms of yardage and touchdown passes will take on the offense. Jacob Pugh, 154 out of 230 with 4 picks, 27 touchdowns, and almost 2,100 passing yards.
And tremendous last week on third down. One WJ the game.
DeRosa beside Pugh. Two receivers each way. It's going to be a DeRosa run right side and not getting anything beyond the line of scrimmage. We'll get forward progress back to that 34-yard line.
Yeah, it just wasn't anything there.
DeRosa's rushed for 211 yards on now 45 carries this year. Second and 10, Pugh shows to DeRosa, pass this way. Peduzzi all alone down the sideline, inside the 20. 10, one guy with a chance, trips him up, and Peduzzi ends up in the end zone for the touchdown.
One thing that surprised me this year, how many times John Peduzzi finds himself alone. I have no idea how he could just get lost. I really don't. But it's happened numerous times.
Well, it happened with this combination a year ago. How many, would he have 4 or 5 long receptions last year against Bethany and the Presidents on the board 49 seconds in. Extra point attempt. Ricky Hunter to kick the PAT. Rush comes, kick is away, and good. His 14th in 16 attempts. 14-11 to play in our opening quarter. WJ 7. Bethany, nothing back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
In the words of the wise old sage, that didn't take long.
No, and I knew once they started throwing a ball it was going to get ugly because that's not the strength of the best of the defense, let's say. But I didn't expect it was going to be like that. My goodness.
Liam Campbell will kick off. He's put the ball for 9 touchbacks. This will not be one. It's going to hit at the 19-yard line and hop back to about the 7-yard line. Return stop short of the 20. An open field work there to stop Blake Adams. Adams going to get about a dozen yards on the run back. And then they're going to put the ball at the 19 for the Bethany Bison. One, count them, one rushing touchdown through 6 games.
That's a tough thing there, man. They're young, and they got there's all kind of problems. I mean, you got to give these kids credit for gutting it out.
Blake Phillips hands it off. T.J. Owensby crosses the 20 to about the 22. 3 yards for the 5'8", 165-pound senior out of Cincinnati. There are not many of those listed as senior at Bethany.
Justin Johns on the tackle. Avery Kreith right down the line. He was in on that tackle.
Owensby averages less than 2 yards a carry. Picked up three there. Second and seven at the 22. Phillips takes the shotgun, rolls, and sacked just that quickly.
It was like a dart. Justin Johns threw the line, and he was back there. And he made a really nice diving tackle at the bottom of the legs. Just too quick. Just too much.
Loss of 10 for Phillips. He averages less than 2 yards per charged run himself. Minus 10 on that carry. Third and 17 for the Bison. 2 minutes into the ball game, already down 7-0. Brett Phillips, freshman out of Wheeling Park, stands for a moment in a clean pocket. Now flushed out, rolls. Little pump fake, and he's going to get dragged down. We'll pick up a couple of yards, but the run down on the far side by Avery Keith.
Both middle linebackers blitzed on that. Bethany actually did a good job picking all that up. But Avery Keith got loose, ran down a quarterback, and it's fourth down.
Phillips picks up one to the 13, and now fourth down and 16. Do you want to pass along that sometime during our broadcast today, we hope to be able to bring you our high school football playoff pairings that are to be released around the 3 o'clock hour. We may be just about done when those are finally posted. Punt formation. Very short kick. The president's got to get out of the way. And the ball is going to take a Bethany bounce and actually roll out across the 45. Nothing there that Anthony Rosati really could do. Had to let that one hit in front of him because a lot of traffic there.
Too much traffic. High sky. Anything you want to say here. And you're still starting at their 46.
33 on the punt and no return. As John said, at the plus 46. Just an absolutely gorgeous late October afternoon here on College Street, not on College Street, on Park Avenue. Owen Patricic in the ballgame. Crossed 1,000 yards in his rushing career. Leading rusher last year for the season, leading rusher at the moment for the Presidents. Rosati in motion. Patrici takes the handoff, makes a great decision, takes the hole to his right, and pounds it inside the 40.
Really well blocked. Patrici, guys, always up inside the hole.
Second down and two. Pugh on the rollout. Patrici stays to block. Throw to the sideline. It's intercepted. Undercut on the far side.
He actually had Rosati earlier. But he wasn't out as wide as I guess Jake wanted to be, and he just held it too long.
Interception by Devin Colson, his second of the season, and Bethany's third interception defensively. The pick is the fifth thrown this year, thrown by Pugh. And now Bethany's biggest offensive play is made by a defensive back. Ball at the 25-yard line, first and 10. Bison with two running backs plus the quarterback. It's going to be a running play, but that stopped very quickly. Aaron Randolph, who has 156 rushing yards.
Well, two guys couldn't block Dawson Dietz, so he bottled where the ball was going to go. And man, Avery Keith is really active right now today. That's at least three tackles.
Randolph loses a couple. Our game one of five on the docket this afternoon. Three games here in this 1 o'clock window. Teal Grove City, Carnegie Mellon, St. Vincent. The other two.
Mercer County Cup, Teal and Grove City.
Running play, Owensby gets around the left bend, and he's got the sideline, tiptoes out, close to a first down. They're going to spot him out. Looks to be at about the 32-yard line. So about 3 yards short of the sticks.
Tell you what, if he had a little bit less sidelines there, he was gone. So he was going.
9 yard pickup on the run. And he was pointing too.
Oh, yeah.
He had the celebration already going, but stepped out at the 32. Third down and three for the Bison. Three plays and a punt on their opening series. Owensby gets the handoff again. There's no celebration happening this time.
No, it was bottled up by Beats. Zach Valentine. I'm not quite sure what Zakai was doing. Jumping all over that pile there. Looked like a dog pile. Division championship in baseball or something.
And he came flying up over the top.
He was up there, too.
Fourth down and three. The Bison at their own 32-yard line. 9:52 to play in our opening quarter. WJ leading 7-0. Punt formation for the second time for Rossineau. This one fielded by Rosati at his own 38-yard line. Gets it up across the 45 to the 47.
Nice return.
And that low angle kick, that's one you got to grab, because if you don't, it's just going to keep on going to your goal line.
Yeah, I don't think you were paying attention to kickers in pregame, but none of them had good pregames. Nobody. I don't know what's going on. It doesn't look like there's a lot of wind today. But nobody looks good.
And that is a 30-yard punt and 9 on the return. President's first and 10 at their own 47. Running play right side. It's Volpatti. Going to get two. Troy Volpatti, the junior out of Bethel Park. Just over 3 yards per carry on the season. Now 30 runs on the year. Gain of 2 on this carry. Second down and 8. It'll be Volpatti again. Got a little more opening. Powers forward for 5 to the Bethany 46.
Yeah, Elijah Staub did a great job with his guy. And then inside, he created a hole, and Volpatti darted through there.
Presidents are without Raymond Holmes today.
Valuable piece.
Boy, what a game he had last week. Uh-oh. He and Zach Cernuto.
Those guys were outstanding. And I watched the game again, and they were better when I watched it again.
Third and 3, running play right side. Volpatti spins inside the 40, the 35, and circled down at the 33-yard line. First down.
Wide gap. He just had to get through there, and he did.
33-yard run for Troy Volpatti. First and 10, DeRosa, a little delay, brings it to the edge, inside the 30, the 25, and finally hauled down at the 21, another first down.
Now, this is something. Last week, there were about 4 guys there behind Kobe. Those guys would have all been blocking last week. That's the difference. That's, and it's human nature, okay?
Just to note that Volpatti run, his longest carry of the season. Running play off the left edge. Gets to about the 16. DeRosa again.
Yeah, if he keeps his feet, he might have taken that to the house.
Second down and 5. Patricic now in the backfield. 2 receivers wide right plus the slot that way. Patrici gets the handoff. He's got the first down and chugging his way inside the 10, first and goal.
Really good job of blocking by WJ.
Actually spot him the football right, the belly of the ball right on the 10-yard line. It's first and goal.
Braden Penwell did a really nice job with his guy. Created the opening.
Pass to the right side. Caught at the 10. Wide open. And into the end zone, Anthony Rosati.
Good for him. Senior day, PD. He was going to go to the deeper guy, then he saw Rosati just by himself.
I want to make a correction. I said on Volpatti's run, I wrote down the yard line, not how long the run was. So it was not his longest run of the year, but played a big part in that. 7-play, 53-yard touchdown drive, resulting in the Pewter Rosati kick. Now Devin Wyatt back out to kick the PAT. This one's up and good. Presidents have two different players scoring touchdowns, two different players kicking PATs. 6:56 to play, first quarter. WNJ 14, Bethany nothing. Back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment. In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation. Three WNJ possessions, two touchdowns, one turnover. Jake Pugh has completed all three of his passes today. The one in the middle, though, was thrown to a guy wearing a white and green uniform. The Rizzotti touchdown, his second of the year, his 15th catch. And for Pugh, touchdown number 29 for the season national leader. Kick hops down and picked up on the move by Blake Adams. Took it on the run at the 15 and got out over the 25, almost to the 30. Looks like they're going to give him the 30-yard line complete. Liam Campbell, more of a line drive type kick there, and I don't think that's what the design was.
No, he was struggling. That's the most I ever saw him struggle. A pregame, he just couldn't get any good kick.
No, Adams with 15 on the run back. Bethany first and 10 from the 30. Owensby resets the quarterback's left. Play fake, dump the ball off. Soft spot in the seam, out across the 40 to the 43-yard line on the reception by Ray Adamas. First down, Bison.
Yeah, he just went to, found the spot and just sat there. They found him.
13 yards and a first down. First pass of the game for Phillips. Now he'll keep it himself, roll, and he'll slide down at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he wasn't going to take on five guys, and I don't blame him.
There were multiple sizable hits coming.
Sea of red.
Actually going to be spotted for a sack, loss of a yard on the slide. Six minutes to play, opening quarter. WJ up 14-0. Second down and 11 for the Bison. Two receivers wide each way. The ones to the left stacked and an eye pressure right in the face of Phillips. Grabbed. He is going to be able to throw the ball. It's going to be completed, but it's going to be a loss of a yard on the play. Going down, Phillips got rid of the football and got it off to Adamas, his leading receiver.
Was that Dawson that was had that arm out and grabbed? Yeah. He had a big arm out there and was bringing him down.
Third and 12 now for the Bison from their own 41 after the big pass play. Phillips rolls out. He's got some room. Sprinting toward the far side. Going to step out of bounds shy of the lead stick. So it will be fourth down. Looks to be about two out of bounds in WJ territory.
I'd go for it.
Phillips run for 10. Brings him to four carries for a net of 0 yards, and the Bison offense stays out, needing two. Phillips barking a hard count. Presidents don't flinch. Eligibles looking to the far sideline.
I think they're going to end up punting here.
And the play clock going to run out, and the Bison use a timeout. 4:36 to play, first quarter, WJ 14, Bethany nothing. Back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a best in America banking experience or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
back at Cameron Stadium. And not sure why you use a timeout there. You're in the first quarter. Either kick the ball or don't, or well, go for it or don't.
When I said after the third down, I'm going to go for it because, honestly, they're not going to stop WJ. So you might as well go for it while you got something going. And then you end up trying to draw them off, and they end up going for it, and then you use the timeout. I don't know.
And now you line up to go for it anyway. Should have just gone for it, right? Four eligible receivers, one running back. Phillips flushed out of the pocket. Gets the ball off, complete to the president's 40-yard line, and good for a first down. The Bison convert.
A good play by Phillips because he just kept rolling, and his initial guy was covered. And then he found a guy that just sat in the middle of the field. That was a really good play by Phillips.
Todd Airy makes the catch at the 40-yard line, picks up 9, and a second Bethany first down. A little mad scramble to get the trip receivers to the right, or to the left, rather, tight end. Near side and the ball thrown away. Does not get to the line of scrimmage, but receiver in the area.
It's going to be holding.
There is a flag down in the defensive secondary. Flag, actually, indication they're saying pass interference.
They didn't get the guy I thought they were going to call for holding. I thought Marcus Harrell held the guy that he actually threw to, but they're going to call interference.
Defensive pass interference will take the ball to the spot of the foul, which is the president's 33-yard line.
Oh, my.
Mike Sirianni is now the question. They're going to wave off the penalty, I think, John, because the pass didn't get to the line of scrimmage. You can't have pass interference. And now they're going to say it did, and the flag did not. The pass went out of bounds behind the trail stick. But the officials, led by Ryan Novosel, going to say, oh, yeah, we got to the line of scrimmage, so the penalty's going to stand.
Another great call by officiator.
Well, first and 10 at the 33. Quarterback draw and a sack. And the ball came loose. And the presidents say they have it. Referees Novosel says it's second down.
Nah, they had it. Bethany had it.
Sack. Lost back to the 36-yard line. Loss of 3. Now, Coach Mike was right on that DPI penalty. Should not have been. The pass did not reach the line of scrimmage.
No, it did not.
Second down and 13. Phillips rolls out, dumps the ball off. Pass is complete, and the receiver knocked out of bounds on the near sideline. It's Owensby releasing out of the backfield. And he's going to be spotted out. Looks to be the 31, gain of 5. So third down and 8 for the Bison. Phillips 4-for-4 passing, but just 26 yards. That's right around his average, about 5.25 yards per attempt. Just the 5th catch of the year for Owensby, who stays in the backfield. Trips left. Owensby running play, trying to find a hole. And is tackled at about the 28-yard line, well short of the yardage needed. It'll bring up another Bethany 4th down.
Dietz with first contact, Primrose to clean up.
Owensby, 15 yards on his 4 carries, 2:15 to play in our opening half. Oh, I'm sorry, opening quarter. Jump right in there. Don't let me hang out there like that. Ninth play of the possession. Bison have to get to the 23 to move the stick, so fourth and a long 5. The ball just shy of the 28. Phillips wants to put it up, throws it across the middle. It falls incomplete off the hands of Ray Adamas. That ball a little behind him, and the ball will go over on downs. First incompletion of the day for Brett Phillips, the freshman out of Wheeling Park, 6'1", 180, who has scrambled this afternoon
to
stay upright.
There before he really wanted to, because WJ brought both Keaton Hall and Justin Johns. He didn't have enough time. His receiver just
wasn't able to clear.
First and 10 for the Presidents. Pass play to the right hash mark. Wide open. And that's McCosko's first grab of the day. Defensive backs look like they got put on an island out there.
They really did. That fooled me. I thought Hugh handed the ball off to Bill Patty.
22 yards on the completion. Team's reception leader. First and 10, running play. And Volpatti lost the football.
The
Presidents have turned it over for a second time, it would appear.
This is where you think about the focus and just taking care of the ball. That's what happens in these kinds of games.
45-yard line.
When you're coming off a big emotional win and you're looking at a big game next week, I'm not making excuses because it shouldn't happen, but that's what happens.
So 5 yards for Volpatti, but the ball fumbled away to the Bison, who will take over at their own 45-yard line, first and 10, a minute 11 remaining in our opening quarter. Phillips shows to Owensby, now flushed out of the pocket, rolls to the right, has some room, will run with it, and he'll duck down and go to the turf at about the 47, going to gain just a yard on that play, make it two, actually, to 47, my apologies.
When you said he's been scrambling all day, he has been scrambling. And I don't just mean scrambling with the football, he's avoiding kids, this kid's taking, he's under serious duress.
Second down and 8. Phillips on a slant in pass is juggled, tipped, and intercepted with the pick, and then falling down was Brock Sherman. That ball off the hands of the receiver, and Sherman has a pick 6 if he doesn't lose his balance.
Yeah, he sure does, but he got a little bit off kilter there, and he went down.
8th pick thrown this year by Phillips. WJ takes over as the team's trade turnovers. WJ will have the ball at the Bethany 44.
You can rest assured, Coach Mike, not in favor of these turnovers. I know he got into it pretty good at the beginning of the week about this stuff.
First and 10 at the 44-yard line. Pugh dumped the ball off and all kind of breakdowns. McCosko sprinting for the end zone. Touchdown.
You know what? That's unnecessary. They hit halfway into the end zone. Wide open is an understatement.
Well, at least two defenders jumped the swing route, and McCosko running on the skinny post is just alone.
Their combination of routes are just totally befuddling the Bison.
Extra point attempt, Devin Wyatt. Kick beats the rush up and good. 22 seconds to play. First quarter, WJ 21. Bethany nothing. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
We got a couple of early returns on the high school football playoff pairings. Peters Township, as a first-round bye, will play the Penn Trafford South Fayette winner in the quarterfinals. Trinity, seeded 5th in the 4A bracket following last night's win against Bell Vernon. But the reward is number 4, Aliquippa. Hillers will be at the Beaver County Hines Field.
That's some reward.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Kickoff taken at about the 16-yard line. First contact didn't get the Derek Lancaster stop, but the second contact will. He'll be shy of the 30-yard line. Beat a two-time state champion last night. Now you get to play another state champion.
Look, to be honest, they're playing pretty well right now, Trinity. It's a daunting task to go there. I mean, I understand that. But you know what? They have nothing to lose. They pulled stunners before a couple times in the playoffs. That would be a stunner, but hey, you go play and take a shot.
First and 10, Bethany at its own 29-yard line, down 21-0 here in the first quarter. Phillips, floater up the far sideline, juggling attempt and going to be incomplete. The ball hauled in eventually by Jacob Burns, the freshman out of Charleston, but it hit the ground to help him corral it.
The players on Bethany's sideline were pulling for that as a catch, big time.
Second down and 10. Clock stopped with the incomplete pass. From the 29, Phillips awaits the shotgun snap. Hand it off, running play going around the left end. The carry by Luke Hilliard. And Hilliard stopped at about the 34 for a gain of six as the first, or gain of four rather, as the quarter comes to an end. WJ has three touchdowns, two turnovers, but all told they'll take the first half at the point where it is 21-0. WJ end of one quarter, second period. The WJPA Sports Network when we come back.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
This is Coach Guy Monticalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Unofficially, I have WJ with 56 yards rushing, 142 through the air, 198 total. Bethany, 17 yards on the ground, 26 pass, 43 yards total offense in the opening quarter. WJ's turned the ball over twice, Bethany once. It is third down and five for the Bison. Bethany at its own 34-yard line. Bethany with three first downs, one of them by penalty. Phillips looks right, throws on the slant, incomplete at the 40-yard line. Intended for Elijah Moffitt, the junior out of Atlanta, and it will bring up fourth down.
Once again, WJ had that pretty well defended. I want to say that's Will Domico.
Three straight incompletions for Brett Phillips after hitting his first four passes. Punt formation for Ethan Rossenau, freshman out of Parsons, West Virginia. Opening seconds of the second quarter, WJ going to get the ball in good position. Low snap. Rosati has it hit in front of him, and now a flag comes flying in.
For what?
Two-on-one block for the president.
The guys are getting up off the block.
I mean, don't know if somebody said something on the way up, but looks like they're going to call personal foul. The punt was downed at the W&J 31-yard line, so a 35-yard punt and roll.
And Coach, you know what, Bob? That's you're going to start officiating the scoreboard at 21-0. Come on. I mean, that's a ridiculous call. I'm sorry.
So the holding penalty will take the ball back to the President's 21-yard line. Back to that 4A bracket, I mentioned Trinity seated fifth, Aliquippa fourth, so they'll play. West Allegheny, who knocked off everybody's number one last night, is seated eighth. That must mean West Allegheny and TJ.
To play? Wow.
I would think.
First of all, that's a disservice to TJ, to be honest with you. Why am I not surprised?
First and 10, Presidents from the 21-yard line, leading 21-0. Pugh with a play fake, sideline ball is caught by McCosco, ducked inside of a defender, and is going to be taken out of bounds out to the 38-yard line. First down. Three straight completions to McCosco now. 17 yards on this reception. I have Jake Pugh, 5 of 6 for 159. Three of those to McCosco. Owen Patricic running free up over the left side across the 40 and out to the 45, a run of 7.
Yeah, he's up inside again, doing a great job finding the space. WJ in a great position on second down.
Trio of running backs combined for 63 yards here in the first half. Patricic going to add to that. Up across the 50-yard line and taken down at the Bethany 41. 14 on this rumble.
Just the WJ plus two guys. Adam Dezera was a beautiful block.
Pass play. McCosco makes the catch. Patricic trying to get out in front of him and block. And now Patricic going to limp back to the huddle.
Nice block by Peduzzi as well.
Patricic coming out of the game.
A little
hamstring limp.
All year. Started during the summer. And every so often it come up and bites him.
5-yard completion to McCosco. Second down and 5 at the Bethany 36. Volpatti trying to run wide, strung out, grabbed by the arm, and taken out of bounds.
That was well defended by Bethany. Defensive tackle came off the line, a little bit of penetration, forced Volpatti to the outside, and they had it strung out pretty well.
Loss of 2 on the run. That's the first negative yardage play for the Presidents offensively this afternoon. Leading 21-0, 12:45 to play in the first half. Pugh pulls it down, stays behind the line, keeps the play alive, and finds a man open. It's Volpatti, flag downfield. McCosco, I think, is going to get called for offensive interference.
Yeah, that's going to be the call.
Yep. He was engaged, pushing with the ball in the air, and I to be honest, I don't have a problem with the call.
That was definitely
no offensive pass interference. We'll back the play up.
It occurred because the play got strung out a little bit. Jake waited until he got an open man, but Costco was engaged with the D back. That had to be called.
Third penalty of the game. On W&J, 32 yards in Markoff's. Now third down and long back at their own 47-yard line. Have to get to the 32. Set up the screen pass complete to Cernuto. At about 10 yards on that reception. But couldn't wait on the blockers any longer. And the play to the Bethany 45 gets just 8. And now Presidents will send the punt unit on. And Devin Wyatt coming out to punt.
Well, they need practice at this. Let's not fool ourselves.
Fourth down and about 14 yards to go. Low snap, Wyatt handles it, no pressure, hangs a beauty up in the air, end over end, fair catch indicated and made at the 10. That's a 35-yard high hanging punt And the Bison will be pinned back at their own 10-yard line.
Pretty much take 35 net every time.
Presidents have not punted often. That's just the 12th punt for Devin Wyatt this year. 35 yards and the fair catch. Bethany first and 10 at its own 10-yard line.
Curious, why did 4A come out first? Do you have any idea?
I don't. Bison first and 10. Running play to the left side. It snowed under. That's Aaron Randolph. That it was not the first one out. Peters, then Peters bracket was out.
Okay.
And they may have, the 6A may have been already released before I got anything there, but I don't have a team in 6A, so that could be why.
Berardino with a nice play there from his defensive end post.
Randolph loses two. His second negative yardage carry of the day. Second and 12 now. The Bison from the 8. Randolph alone with Phillips beside. Randolph takes a high handoff. That ball up around his chest. And he has to pull it down. And going to get credit for a yard gain to the 9.
Keaton Hall first touch. Avery Keith back down the line again. This will be interesting. I know they don't want to drop back and pass because they don't feel like they're going to block WJ's front. We'll see if they, it's tough to move them down by the goal line as well. A little bit risky.
Phillips hit his first four, has been off the mark on his last four passes. Wants to put it up, flushed out of the pocket, trying to direct traffic in front of him, up over the 10, the 15, and out to the 17-yard line. Stopped short of the first down.
They did go back, and then he flushed him out. He did drop back. And there was a big rush.
Gain of 8 for the scrambling quarterback freshman. It's the 17, but it's 4th down and 3. And the Bison will be in punt formation. Bethany has had 5 possessions. 3 punts, an interception thrown. And a ball over on downs. This ball will be punted from about the 5 and a very short punt. It's going to take a W&J bounce inside the Bethany 30-yard line.
Wow.
That ball is going to be down at about the 25, 26.
8-yard punt. 8-yard punt.
President's got some pressure, but like kicker had time and able to handle it, but really short, end-over-end, backwards kick.
That's the last thing you need if you're Bethany.
WJ leading 21-0. First and 10 at the 26. Play going over the left side, over the guard, and DeRosa, the ball carrier, going to get 3 to the 24.
Patrici coming back in.
Said the length right, but it's to the 23. And Owen Patrici returns, as John said, doing a little back running. Pass play to the 5. McCosco makes the catch, and he fights his way to the house. Touchdown. There's a flag down at the 19-yard line.
Legal man downfield, let me guess. Official's favorite call when the score's a little bit out of whack.
Pretty well count on this where the flag was and who threw it. Ineligible man downfield.
Let me just say this. This is the easiest call for referees to try to keep the game in touch. You know how many we had last week? 0.
Tackle takes a McCosko touchdown off the board. Ball back out to the 28-yard line. Second and 12 now for the Red and Black. 8:32 remaining in the first half. As you can hear, the wind, a little bit of an issue this afternoon.
Kicking up a little bit.
Patricic was shown the ball. Throw downfield, though, to McCosko. Great fake by Jake Pugh, and McCosko moves the chains.
Sure was.
Going to spot the ball at the 12, 16 yards, and a W&J first down. The Presidents lead the nation in first downs gained. McCosko over 100 receiving yards with that grab. Ball came loose. Going to be ruled down. Patrice coming out of the game.
No, he was down. He was on the ground. But you don't want to see that. I mean, Roberto Smith, who's been in a tight end this series, comes out.
Gain of a yard for Patrice.
Anthony Rosati's in the game.
Pugh rolls to his left, throws back across. That ball caught inside the 5-yard line by Peduzzi. And that's going to be, spot him down. Looks to be about the 4. Third down and short. 7-yard completion.
Oh, boy.
And Peduzzi get crumpled there?
Yep.
Yep. That's the thing that happens in games like this sometimes. Peduzzi shaken up and will be attended to. A couple of more. One more site released. We know that Washington did get a wild card invitation. They'll be playing at Steel Valley, the number 4 seed. Played
That'll
there
be
earlier
fun
this
them.
Year and Waynesburg also in. They had an automatic bid. They'll be going to South Allegheny in the 2A opening round.
It looks like Peduzzi's going to be okay. I'm not sure he's going to be back in the game, but he's going to be okay, it looks like.
Slow walk to the near sideline. Jake Pugh, 9 of 10, one interception, 195 passing yards, and 3 W&J touchdowns. We played 23 minutes this afternoon.
And a fourth one called back.
Third down and about 2 at the 4. DeRosa takes the handoff, a little jump cut, gets inside the 2 to the 1, and just cover up the ball, did not get in the end zone, got his back turned to the goal line, and it looked like he was going to try to turn to his right with the ball there tucked, but did not.
Kobe does a good job of keeping his feet going and legs going in piles. And, you know, of course, the one last week that sealed the game, he was working that right there, too.
First and goal at the 1. It's DeRosa. No, it's Pugh sprinting for the end zone for the touchdown. His third rushing touchdown of the season.
Put it on his hip.
It'll make people think DeRosa's going to get it again. And all of a sudden, then sprint to the pylon. Touchdown, Jacob Pugh, senior out of Thomas Jefferson. Devin Wyatt to kick. Jake Mell to hold. 6:23 to go, second quarter. Good snap and hold, and the kick just slides inside the right upright. W&J 28, Bethany, nothing. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come back.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
It's the NFL on Sports USA, and we're in the Emerald City as the Buffalo Bills head west to face the Seattle Seahawks. The Hawks have Geno feeding the ball deep to Lockett and DK Metcalf. The Bills will stampede towards the end zone with Allen, Shakir, and James Cook.
Throwing, got a man all alone at the 10 and walking into the end zone. Well, I thought he was going to walk in, but doing a flip is James Cook.
It's the Bills at the Seahawks this Sunday on Sports USA.
Coverage starts at 4 o'clock on 1450 AM WJPA.
Liam Campbell on the run-up, and a deep kick will be taken at the four-yard line. Return into the middle of the field between the hash marks and the tackle just shy of the 25-yard line for the Bison. WJ up 28-0, but the concern is John Peduzzi walked with medical staff into the locker room.
He was walking okay. I mean, with a limp, but okay. It wasn't anything like he wasn't putting weight on, but you won't see him the rest of this day.
Bison first and 10 from the 25. Running back motions this way. Phillips with a play fake. Now passes off complete right side. 30 and out to about the 35. Going to be right at the first down marker. Looks like Elijah Moffitt on the catch.
And a little bit.
He's just shy.
Yep, just a little bit.
Moffitt's first reception of the afternoon. Right. Didn't actually get the chain set to begin with, but so it'll be a gain of a yard. Moffitt, as I mentioned, first reception of the day. He's now over 100 receiving yards for the year.
Pew and McCosco went and checked on their buddy Peduzzi.
Running play, trying to get the first down, and will. Pyle moves just across the 35-yard line.
Somebody said something to Jake, how's Peduzzi, and he pointed at and he had thumbs up, so I think Peduzzi's going to be fine. I just don't think you'll see him until we hit Cleveland next Saturday.
2 yards for Owensby. First down and 10. Ball at the 36-yard line now. Moffitt resets in a wing this way. Phillips in trouble and goes down. He throws the ball forward.
Right.
The way to the ground.
He was on the ground. So that's either a penalty or the ball should be back there. And this guy right here.
This is the head linesman.
Yeah, he's not very good.
And they are actually going to spot the play down.
Thank you.
The sack.
He certainly didn't want to give it to him.
Loss of 7 on this play. I have that as the 4th sack of the day for the Presidents. Phillips with 8 charged rushes for no gain.
Justin John is straight downhill today. I mean straight downhill.
2nd and 17. Phillips had to roll to the near side and pushed out of bounds on the W&J bench. Looks at about the 31-yard line, so he's going to gain 2 yards on that play, but he was in all kind of trouble instantly.
This poor kid is he's seeing all kind of lineman eyes every play. He's running for his life right now.
One of the high school football playoff pairings delays is the fact that a game that could impact those matchups was a 12 o'clock start. Dump off on a screen, and there is nowhere for Luke Hilliard to go.
Johns, Keith, Keaton Hall, all right around the ball. And Dawson Deeds.
Completed pass. We're going to put it down at the 28. So a loss of three on the completion. Second pass today thrown by Phillips that was caught that lost yards. I've joked about this many times. One of the things that Woody Hayes could never have conceived when he said his line about three things can happen when you throw the ball and two of them are negative. He never imagined that you could actually catch a pass and lose yardage. Punt. Oh, better kick, and Rizzotti over the shoulder grab at his own 32 and saves some yardage there and actually gets a one-yard return on a 40-yard punt.
It was a much better punt that time and a good play. And because there's 2:17, I'm going to say that was Jacob Burns from Bethany. Really nice play. Ankle tackle, diving out. Now, let me clarify why I said that with that headlines. When there's a play like that, you have to be somewhat demonstrative of the show. He's down. You mark. You do that. You point. He did nothing. He just stood there. The other guys, the other refs had to come and do the work.
WJ will take over at its own 33-yard line. This is the eighth president's possession of the half.
They had five in the first quarter.
Little Patty takes a handoff, running left, up over the 35 to the 39-yard line. One down spot today for the presidents, a couple of turnovers, and boy, Peduzzi was out on the field, and now he's coming limping back to the sideline.
I think it would just be best to leave him there. And I think he's come to that realization.
Well, Patty takes the handoff again, trying to go wide left, and finally cuts it back up and picks up three. Gets to the 42, third down and a yard to go.
Patrice and Roberto Smith in full Patty. I guess that number 11.
Third down and a yard to go. That's T.J. Lynn,
yeah,
number 11.
I look like zero.
Patrice on the carry, going to move the sticks, gets across the 45, stood up, and two hands wrapped around the football, first down presidents. Gain of five for the senior out of Bentworth, and we've reached the two-minute timeout. We'll take it as well. WJ 28, Bethany nothing. 2 minutes to play in the first half. Back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a minute.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patrisic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
And again, just a note, we will, at the half, hopefully have the 1A WPIL playoff brackets released as well. We'll run down everything that we have, but the delay in some regards is due to the 12 noon kickoff, Jeanette at Riverview, and Riverview has lights for one game a year. They rent lights and have a Friday game, but everything else is played on Saturdays. And so the WPIL committee apparently holding until that game ends. Jeanette was leading last. We heard 27-7. Jeanette's in. There's no question about that. The wild card situation in 1A has all kind of pieces in play there. First and 10. Deep ball. McCosco running free. Settles under it. 15-10. Touchdown.
No one within 20 yards of him. Tell you what. Jake McCosco's, he's ranking and is one of the best receivers in Division III. What a year he's put together.
Second touchdown catch of the day. 157 yards receiving on six grabs this afternoon. PAC Offensive Player of the Week currently. Snap a little behind Mel. And the kick is blocked and picked up by the Bison. It's a live football. Think back, Stag Bowl 1992.
This is a recurring problem. Okay. You want to worry about something? Worry about these extra points.
Kick is blocked. The snap again. Mel kneeling down. Reach back to his right to handle the snap, and he brought it around. The kick gets blocked.
He's not the problem. That kid saved a few extra points this year.
I'm not saying
no,
Mel.
No, he did a really good job. That's exactly what he did. But this got to stop, man. It has to stop. This is, there's no reason to be this bad on blocking for extra points execution. And I know it's driving Mike crazy.
So 151 to play in the first half. It's now 34-0 Presidents.
That in that Stag Bowl didn't allow WJ to try to kick a field goal to win the game at the end.
Correct.
And they were close. And Scotty Lautner was the kicker then?
Yes, indeed. That kick got blocked and returned for a defensive 2 points.
Yep.
And then we ended up the last play for the Presidents was Babs throwing to Strope. Presidents kick off. It'll be taken at the 9-yard line. The Bison want to run this back. And might want to rethink that. This play going to be stopped at the 20-yard line.
Now, what do you do if you're them right now? You're down 34. You're going to subject your quarterback to further ambush, or you're just going to go in down 34? Mike's not going to call any timeouts.
I would think not. Though first half, sometimes
maybe.
Coaches look at that, rules
yeah.
are different.
Maybe.
You know, those compassion rules kick off, or you know, kick in at the start of the second half.
No, yeah, I understand.
Phillips rolls right and will pull it down. He's going to run, slide to a stop at the 26, gain of 6. Phillips 10 carries, net 8 yards on the afternoon, sacked 4 times.
Smart enough to go down. I'll say that about that young man.
Two receivers come wide this way, Jacob Burns and Ray Adamas. Phillips wants to put it up, and he's not going to be able to. Sacked again. Boy, he looked left, and boom, down he goes, and the Presidents do indeed use a timeout.
Well, now I would. I mean, if they're going to do this, yeah. All right.
Put the ball down at the 20-yard line, so gain 6, lost 6. 107 to play, first half.
That was Brock Sherman with the sack.
We got a sack and a pick today.
He's a good football player. You're going to hear way more about him as we go along the road. It's put together, man. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he's going to be one of your next stars here. He's kicking. He can play.
Another note on the 1A bracket. We know that Bentworth, California, Fort Cherry, and Jefferson Morgan are in. The question is Carmichael's in as a wild card? And that's all yet to be announced.
If they are not in at 5-3, and teams get in at 3-6,
well, it's going to be ugly. That will not be a pretty scenario.
No, it won't be, but all you'll get is that's why we're picking them.
Third down and 10, and Phillips is sacked again. Just never could get going. And
that sack goes to Dawson Dietz. He was down at the bottom, bringing him down.
And the Presidents use their second timeout. Another six-yard loss. Six sacks on the afternoon of the freshman quarterback for the Bison. Clock stops at 1:02 to play here in the half. Presidents will try to get the ball and add one more marker to it. Now the big question at the moment for W&J is the leg health of one John Peduzzi. 6'2", 205-pound junior. Peduzzi go with the seniors today?
Yeah, he walked.
Yeah,
he can come back.
Rizzotti back to receive, and now he is really shortened up here. The line of scrimmage is the 14. He's at the about the 46-yard line, expecting about a 30-yard punt from Ethan Rosenau. Wide splits by the Bison. Presidents get people through, but the kick is away. Rizzotti trying to get to it. It's going to hit the ground a second time, and he'll just have to watch it bounce. He hit the right distance. Ball downed at the Bethany 45-yard line.
I don't see Peduzzi on the sidelines. Oh, there he is. There he is. Yeah, he's. Oh, this is a knee injury. He has ice. The knee taped up, his right knee. That's been a bugging injury. Am I correct? Yes.
W&J at the Bethany 45-yard line, first and 10. Patricic single back. Bethany lines up with 12 defensively. Run a guy off. Now their front six trying to get a line where they want. Patricic takes the handoff. Stepped up in. The hole was closing, so he bounced it to his left and picks up just a couple.
Bethany's done okay. Okay, defending the run today.
Ninety-nine rushing yards for the Presidents in the first half. Their best day. Ball fumbled. Pugh got hit from behind.
Another lost fumble.
And the Bison recover. Three W&J turnovers, and now Pugh slow to get up. Maybe a late decision there to scramble out of the pocket to step up in, and then got caught from behind.
Yeah, there was a breakdown up front on that one.
W&J with three first half turnovers, and in that regard, fortunate to be playing Bethany this afternoon.
Correct. Now, I've got to think Bethany's going to take a shot down the field.
Bison with it, first and 10 at their own 42-yard line. Brett Phillips was perfect to start, and then that kind of ended. Tripped up and sacked again, back at the 30 this time.
Dawson Dietz. Now, you know, can you think that Bladel thought about coming here and Dawson thought about taking it, going to Grove City? Can you imagine if those two were on the same team?
Oh, my.
You'd have some very difficult decisions on how to block.
Sack is going to end the first half. A loss of 12. Check these numbers out. Bethany quarterback Brett Phillips, 13 charged rushes for minus 16 yards this afternoon.
Ouch.
Seven sacks in the first half. We are at intermission. W&J 34. Bethany, nothing. We'll come back to Cameron Stadium here on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction,
hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on advanced orthopedics and rehabilitation.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me this week for an NFC matchup between Dallas and San Francisco. Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and the 49ers fell to 3-4 last week. Now they host Dak Prescott and a 3-3 Cowboys team, also off to a rough start. But they are coming off their bye week. Should be a fun one. Don't miss any of the action on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
My dream field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My dream field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My dream field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Let's recap the scoring. W&J scored a touchdown on its second play of the game, a 66-yard pass to John Peduzzi. Turned out to go the distance. Ricky Hunter's extra point gave W&J a 7-0 lead. 49 seconds into our first half. Teams traded possessions, two Bethany punts, a W&J turnover as Devin Colson picked up his second INT of the year for the Bison, the fifth pick thrown by Pugh. But then on the after the two punts by Bethany, W&J took over at its own 47-yard line. Pugh to Rosati, 10-yard touchdown pass, 14-0 lead for W&J. Still 6:56 to go in the first after Devin Wyatt's extra point. Bison pick up three first downs. They move from their own 30, but the drive stalls out at the W&J 28. Ball over on downs. Presidents and Bison exchange turnovers. A Volpatti fumble. And then a Sherman interception of Phillips. Presidents take over at the Bethany 44. And a coverage breakdown. Jake McCosco left all alone. 44-yard TD pass from Pugh. Wyatt's extra point made it 21-0 with 22 seconds to play in the first. Teams trade punts, and W&J gets the ball at the Bethany 26-yard line after a 9-yard Ethan Rosenau punt. And the Presidents finally finish it off. Five plays, Jake Pugh from a yard out. And that is his third rushing touchdown of the year. Wyant's kick made it 28-0. Bison forced to punt. W&J takes over at its own 33, and McCosco running down the numbers near side, wide open, 53-yard pass play, extra point kick blocked. That and the three turnovers in the first half, the downsides of this 34-0 W&J lead at the break.
Yeah, you don't want to see those turnovers. That's a lot in one half. I know Coach Mike will address that.
Jake Pugh, I have unofficially 10 of 11, and that other pass was caught just by Bethany. He hasn't thrown a ball to the ground yet.
No, he has not.
248 yards, came in the day leading the nation in passing yards and passing touchdowns. He's added 248 and a half. Don't expect to see much of Pugh after intermission. But he also has thrown four more touchdowns. Now 31 TD passes on the season.
The kid's amazing. He's had a great career here, and he's having a wonderful season.
You know, and John, something we talked about at the Carnegie Mellon game, Pat Agner was here and shared with us something that he had said to the team, but also specifically to the gunslinger, to the cowboy, the quarterback, you know, big numbers, games like today, they're all well and good, but you got to win a big game. And credit to Pugh and the guys got that done last week. And, you know, I disagree with what Mike said, and you and I have talked about this. Games that I look at as big games that the Presidents have struggled with the last 15 years are games that keep you in a conference championship race, keep you in the discussion for playoff qualification, etc. And they had not done very well in those games.
No, and I understand.
That doesn't mean they didn't win big games.
No, they've beaten. Listen, I want to be real clear. I asked those questions to Mike, and he always answers me. And I know it doesn't make him feel real good. But I'm going to qualify this. WJ has beaten some good teams here in the last 5 or 6 years. It's just that they didn't have any impact on the PAC race. That's what I'm saying. That's what my question is based on. They beat a really good John Carroll team here a couple years ago. They beat a really good John Carroll team the year before that at John Carroll. They played in the ECAC games. Those are not big games, but those teams they played were pretty good teams. So it's not that they haven't won any against any good teams. That's impossible. But the games that have impacted PAC play or a championship or a playoff spot, they haven't done well until last week. And they proved they can do it. And I know they can do it.
We're at the half here. We're going to step aside, get a news update. Still have not gotten word on the 1A playoff brackets that we're going to hold off on during our high school playoff matchups for just a couple of more minutes here. Going to get a news update with Kathy Caldwell. Back, check those playoff brackets and get you set for the second half. At intermission here at Cameron Stadium, it's WJ 34, Bethany nothing on the WJPA Sports Network.
Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Caldwell with the WJPA WNJ Halftime Update. Mostly cloudy today, temperatures reaching near 61. Your complete forecast in just a moment. An Oakdale man has died following an overnight accident on Route 19. Police say 51-year-old Michael Fayed was killed on Washington Road in North Strabane Township around midnight last night. Police say Fayed was trying to turn left onto DeMar Boulevard when his vehicle was struck by another car at a high rate of speed, pushing Fayed into a third vehicle. The road was shut down for several hours, but has since reopened. North Strabane Township police are investigating the cause of the crash. State police say a man wanted in connection for the robbery at the Cohen store on Hill Church Houston Road in North Strabane Township last week has been arrested. According to our partners at Channel 11, Jeremy Logan was taken into custody around 8 o'clock last night by state police. They say they believe Logan was responsible for the robbery last Sunday where he allegedly brandished a knife and got away with several hundred dollars worth of cigarettes. Authorities believe he could be connected to other robberies in the area. Today is National Drug Take-Back Day. It's a day dedicated to safely disposing of medications that may be laying around your home. Aaron Dixon, the supervisor for the Center of Excellence, explains where you can go.
Anybody can bring their unused medication, unwanted, unused, expired medication to any of the sites for National Drug Take-Back Day, or most police stations have a site during their regular business hours, Monday through Friday.
The event runs from 10 a.m. until 2 today and is sponsored by the WDAC and the DEA. For a complete list of the take-back locations and what can and cannot be dropped off, visit our website at WJPA.com. Top political surrogates are storming the battleground states, and Western Pennsylvania seems to be the epicenter of activity. The Washington County Democratic Committee welcomed Transportation Secretary and former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, to their headquarters Friday afternoon for an intimate meet and greet and speech endorsing the supporting the Harris-Walz ticket. Mayor Pete, as he is called, addressed the standing room only crowd and explained he's campaigning for Harris for the future of his children.
I did everything I could to see to it that you would grow up and live in something we hadn't yet seen as of then back in the 2020s, but we're close to, which is a truly representative, authentically inclusive, multiracial, democratic society.
With a little more than a week to go, both teams are barnstorming the country to lock up undecided voters. Israel responded to Iran's October 1st attack overnight, but it was tempered due in part to the United States. ABC senior White House correspondent Selena Wang reports.
Netanyahu vowed that Iran would pay for its actions. Since then, President Biden and his team have been working with the Israelis, pushing for a modest response, urging the Israelis to stay away from nuclear science. Since then, the official says that President Biden had been in contact with Netanyahu, and in that last week, President Biden encouraged Netanyahu to respond in a way that would deter future attacks, but that would also reduce the risk of further escalation.
Reports of a possible hack by China has both campaigns concerned. ABC's Zoreen Shaw reports.
As we entered the final phase of the presidential race, sources say Chinese hackers have targeted cell phones connected with both campaigns, including phones formerly used by former President Donald Trump and his running mate, J.D. Vance, and were also phones associated with the Harris Walz campaign. Zoreen Shaw, ABC News Los Angeles.
In sports, WVU travels to Arizona to take on the Wildcats tonight, 7 o'clock. Nittany Lions of Penn State are playing the Badgers in Wisconsin tonight at 7:30. Missouri plays Alabama at 3:30 this afternoon, that game on 1450 AM. Penguins play the Canucks tonight in Vancouver. They will try to rebound from last night's loss to the Edmonton Oilers. They dropped that game by a score of 4-0. And game 2 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. Last night's game, one for the history books. Freddie Freeman hitting a grand slam home run in the 10th to beat the Yankees 6-3. The two teams go again tonight, first pitch at 8:08. Your forecast for the remainder of the day, cloudy skies with a high reaching near 61. Tonight, cloudy and cold with a low of 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and cooler with a high of 59. And for Monday, mostly sunny and a little warmer with a high of 68. That's your latest news update. I'm Kathy Caldwell, WJPA.
This is Coach Guy Monacalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional, the Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Welcome back to Cameron Stadium. We're at the half, one of three blowouts here at either at or near the half in PAC action today. W&J leading Bethany 34-0. Grove City up on Teal 42-0 late in the second quarter. Also late in the second, Carnegie Mellon 31, St. Vincent 7. 5 o'clock kick in Meadville, Waynesburg at Allegheny. The 7 o'clock kick tonight in New Wilmington, where Case Western gets into the real part of their schedule now as the Spartans begin their home stretch playing the top four teams in the league.
It's a survival day for Westminster.
Indeed, much like what the W&J faced against Carnegie Mellon. Two of these and did not get a quarter stat.
Thank you.
We'll deal with that. Still, we do not have a 1A playoff pairings release, and for particularly Carmichael's, who at 5-3 thinks they ought to be in. You know, West Green and Carmichael's tied, but when you work the tiebreakers all the way through, Carmichael's should be the first one considered there, but we'll see how that works out. These teams are in from the Washington Green County area. Peters Township in 5A gets a first-round bye. The defending WPIL champions will play the Penn Trafford South Fayette winner. Trinity beat Bel Vernon last night, a two-time PIAA champion, and the Hillers' reward is to go play Aliquippa in the opening round. The Hillers seeded fifth after that big win, and that appears to be the most talked about bracketing of any. And of course, there's eight teams in there, so you know there's a lot of discussion and controversy there. The team that was ranked number one across the area, Montour, lost last night in overtime to West Allegheny. Montour then did not get an automatic bid. They had to be a wild card because they ended up finishing third with the way the tiebreakers went. At least I believe that's the way that all settled out. And, because Aliquippa was the one, then you go head-to-head with West A and Montour, and West A got in, then Montour's in the wild card discussion. They certainly got one of those, but West Allegheny is seated number 8 on the in that 4A bracket. In the 2A matchups, Waynesburg seeded number 11. They'll be at number 6, South Allegheny. Meanwhile, Wash High, the last team in the 13-team field, and they will travel back to Munhall to Campbell Field and take on number 4, Steel Valley. We know that Bentworth, California, Fort Cherry, and Jefferson Morgan are all in the WPIL playoffs. The question is, who do they play? And then, did Carmichael's get in? And those are questions that we await answers for. WPIL originally scheduled the release of the brackets at 2 o'clock, but they must not have recognized that teams that may be involved in one of those brackets had a game that kicked off at noon. So you might want to wait that. And to be fair to the WPIL, that time frame may be one that they were limited with in terms of their release bracket release show and about when that could happen. And so they may have had to start at that time. But you're not going to have – I mean, my guess is they set out two brackets. One if Jeanette won, we'll do this. One if Riverview won, we'll do that. And it appears that Jeanette was going to win that game.
Well, I'm sure that is what they did. I have a feeling that that's not going to end up in the liking to me or you, that bracket. That's just what I think. I hope that doesn't occur, but I just feel that's the way it's going to go. I think they'll leave Carmichael's out. Some 3-6 team will get in. And that's why I'm not so sure that the league picking the wild cards is the right thing to do.
You know, Jack and I talked about this last night. I think you and I have talked about it for years. I've advocated that, but on a very limited scale. That is to choose the one or two when that's what was needed to fill your bracket. You standardize your qualifications across all sections in a classification. For instance, in 2A, let's talk about that. In 2A, there's three sections. You're going to have a 13-team field because one section has that eight teams in it and the other two have seven. Sevens get four normally and the other one gets five. So you're supposed to have 13. Okay. Well, everybody, they decided each of those sections gets three and then we'll pick four wild cards. How about every section gets four and we'll pick one wild card? And I support the committee choosing the wild card because they've misused the Gardner point system for years, a system that should never be used to compare teams that never play the same teams.
Correct.
It wasn't calculated to do that. It was never formulated to do that. And yet the league has used that mistakenly. Even comparing teams that didn't play the same number of games under consideration, which is right away a problem.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, in 4 or in 1A, there's 16 going to get in. You have four sections. Top four go. If you don't make the top four in your section in 1A, you don't go. Sorry.
I agree.
And this is not just because Carmichael's might get left out or is going to get left out or did get left out. It's because I don't want to use the word that Chuck Heberling bristled about because it's not just that it's not fair. And that was the word that he bristled at in the pairings meeting. It's not right.
No, it
is. More importantly than fair, it's not right.
It isn't right. And, you know, I don't want to go off about this. It's just if a 3-6 team makes the playoffs.
And a 5-3 doesn't?
Over a 5-3 team who competed in this conference section, they like to say, of Green Tree, that they put you in. So what are you supposed to do? Okay, you're saying that conference isn't good enough. That's what they're telling them. Right?
Exactly.
Then change the conference. Change the conference.
Well, we think they're competitive with each other. Okay, then four of them get in the playoffs.
Well,
it's really
tell you
pretty
this.
Simple.
They'll give you this one. Well, the travel's better. When did you consider that when you switched the sections in volleyball? You put Jefferson and took him out of Greene County and put him up on I-70 with Westmoreland County teams, and the rest of the Greene County teams are there. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Now, they corrected that, okay? Because, oh, we didn't know. We thought it was Jefferson Hills, not Jefferson Morgan. Yeah, right. Okay.
Couple of other high school notes. Soccer semifinals this afternoon. Peters Township boys 2-1 winner over Seneca Valley. Cana McMillan boys fall to number one Plum 3-2 in double overtime. Bentworth girls underway now, taking on Winchester Thurston. That game at Peters Township. WJ will kick off to start the second half. The Presidents with the 34-0 lead and have a nearly 10-1 margin in total offense. I have WJ 348 total and Bethany 3 yards rush, 32 yards passing, 35 total. They had minus 8 yards in the second quarter.
That's with all those sacks. They just can't contain WJ's defensive line.
Liam Campbell kicks off. Ball taken at the 8-yard line. Return up the hash marks, and now into the middle of the field, and only Campbell back to stop this. Campbell got a hand on the return man and knocks him down. Another special teams breakdown. Presidents had the return man hemmed in, but couldn't get him on the ground until Derek Lancaster is tripped up by Liam Campbell.
I fear special teams will be the death of this team. It's just going on and on and on.
Lancaster brings the ball from his own 8 to the W&J 49-yard line. 43-yard return. Bethany first and 10 on W&J's side of the field. Running play forward for a yard, maybe two. And it's Owensby on the carry, his sixth run of the day. Tough sledding.
Berardino and Johns in on that stop.
2 yards for Owensby. 19 yards on six carries. And that's actually a little better than his season average has been this year. Motion to the near side. Phillips stuck it into the running back, pulled it back out, and carries himself and gets a first down.
Nice call and a nice run by Phillips. A good job up front by Bethany. I give him credit.
Ball at the WJ 38, 9 yards for Phillips. Bison with a first down, running play, coming back over the left guard. Going to work forward to about the 36, gain of a couple.
Tracked down again by Keith. Keaton Hall in on that stop as well.
Hilliard with the 2-yard run. Just his second carry of the day. Ball at the WJ 36. Phillips gets the snap, wants to throw, and boy, he is just absolutely pancaked. Face mask to the chest, wrap around the waist, sacked back at the 41.
By Mr. Dawson Deitch, his third of the day. Wow.
8 W&J sacks today of quarterback Brett Phillips. Now 3rd and 13 for the Bison at the W&J 41-yard line. Phillips flushed out. Keep his feet. Wants to throw, and now we'll throw it onto the bench, and he ends up clear out at the table, and a late hit going to be called on the Presidents. Phillips ends up about 8 yards out of bounds and into the trainer's table. it's going to be a late hit out of bounds. And wow. Bison will get a new set of downs out of this. Take the ball to the, should be to the 26-yard line. First and 10, Bethany. That's, I have unofficially five penalties on the Presidents.
I'm sorry to go quiet on you, Bob, but when you don't have a good thing to say, don't say it.
First and 10, Bison at the 26. Running play jammed up, and Hilliard can't get going forward. He's going to be dropped for a loss of a couple.
He should be made to look at the replay of that. If he doesn't crash violently into the table, that's probably not going to get called.
Second and 12 for the Bison. Hilliard motions out of the backfield. Phillips looks left, gets hit just as he throws it. Pass overthrown, intercepted. And the tackle made inside the five, but the Presidents have the takeaway. Angela Volamino with a pick, his first of the year.
That's a nice catch by Volamino. Dawson Beast just missed his fourth sack. I'll tell you what, I give the quarterback a lot of credit for Bethany. He has stood in there and just got his fanny kicked all day, but he's still going.
11:23 to play, third quarter. WJ will take over at its own three. T.J. Lynn and Jake McCosko, the primary wide receivers, now with the injury in the first half to John Peduzzi. First and 10, running play. DeRosa fights his way to the 5, now to the 7, to the 8, maybe to the 9. He just kept churning the legs and moving the pile. And the big boys helping out there as well. Patty going to get credit to the 8, a run of 5. Or excuse me, DeRosa, run of 5. Again, 28 yards on 6 carries for DeRosa. Volpatti 7 for 32. Patricic 7 for 43. Pew roll out, sideline ball. Pass caught. McCosko across the 20. First down.
McCosko just found a spot to get open. Jake Pew finds him.
15 yards. And a move of the chains. Officially, that's listed as number 14 for the Presidents. I have one shy of that, but we'll go with it. 11th completion of the day for Pew. Running play coming right side. Gets across the 30-yard line as DeRosa picks up about 7.
It was kind of a funky way to run that. Pugh spun around and then took off on his route for an option.
Make the run good for 8 for DeRosa. Second down and 2. It'll be Patricic running right. Avoids a horse collar tackle. Boy, gets a terrible spot. This plays right in front of us. And he's flying through the air. And the first contact was his elbow across the 33-yard line. And the ball is marked down at the 32. But gain of a yard, third down and a yard to go. It'll be Patricic again, first down and more. 40, runs off a couple of guys, 50, 45, traffic from behind, the hammer down, and Patricic knew it was coming, covers up the ball, and a huge run for Owen Patricic.
He left no doubt on that one. Right up inside.
Line of scrimmage is going to be 29, 39 on the run for Patricic.
That should get him up around 80 yards, I think.
83 to be exact.
There you go.
Unofficially, but exact. Toss play to Volpatti. Got a block from Cernuto to the edge, 25, and down at the 19-yard line. Volpatti carries for down at the 20-yard line is spotted. So 9 yards for Volpatti.
Nice block by Michael Rajinski. He created the opening for Volpatti.
I have the presence with 162 rushing yards on the afternoon.
I think Mike wanted to put up some decent numbers today.
Pass play coming back toward the ball. Rosati in a pass low. He tried to get down and get it. Play well defense, first of all, but poorly thrown.
Yeah, it was low.
That's a ball on the ground. The first incompletion of the day for Jake Pugh. Comes 6.5 minutes into the third quarter.
That's having a pretty good day, that's for sure.
I have Pugh 11 of 13 now. Well, Patty takes the handoff, trying to run left side. Got a couple of yards before being stood up.
Straight dive.
We'll move the sticks.
Straight dive. Bethany's backers did a good job.
Well, and that play designed to do one thing, and that is get the first down. And needed one, got two. Ball to the 18-yard line.
This is going to be a run.
DeRosa with Pugh. DeRosa running the right side. 15, tried to bounce it outside. Had more of an open if he goes straight ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right. If he goes a little bit to his left, right up inside there, he's going to go.
Ball will be spotted at the 13-yard line. DeRosa run a 5. DeRosa and Volpatti all both plus 40. Patricic double that this afternoon. Roberto Smith in motion, gets out in front to throw a block for DeRosa. Winds his way inside the 10 and down at the 6. It's first and goal.
Mike's using all his running backs right now.
And balanced use. 9 carries apiece for the 3 of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of his goals here today.
Oh, and Patricic now in the backfield behind Pugh.
Oh, boy.
Patricic to the end zone for the 3rd time on the ground. Touchdown.
And you like to see that for him on senior day as well.
6-yard TD run for Owen Patricic on his 10th carry of the day. And now the mystery unit on the field.
Mike's out on the field for this one. He's trying to get a better view of what's going on here.
Mel gets the snap. Kick is partially blocked and gets over the crossbar. The low kick there by Wyatt. But the kick is good. WJ 41, Bethany nothing. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a Best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
It's the NFL on Sports USA, and we're headed to Foxborough as the New York Jets fly into New England to battle the Patriots. The Pats have Drake May leading the offense with Ramondre in the backfield.
He'll get the handoff running right, and he turned a corner. He does. It gets to the sideline and gets into the end zone. Touchdown, New England!
The Jets are ready for takeoff with Hall, Wilson, and the timeless Aaron Rodgers. It's the Jets at the Patriots this Sunday on Sports USA.
Coverage starts at 12:30 on 1450 AM WJPA.
97-yard drive. 11 plays, capped by Owen Patricic's 3rd rushing touchdown of the year. A 6-yard run. His 10th carry of the day as he's at 89 yards now. Line drive kick taken at the 11-yard line. Return up the hash marks. And then the play crosses the 25, Derek Lancaster is corralled and taken down.
Well, that was better coverage that time.
spot the ball.
Just to let you know, Bob, the Jeanette River game has just ended, so I would be looking for that bracket very shortly.
And they'll bring the ball out to the 29 for Bethany. Get a final on that, partner?
No.
Okay.
They didn't provide that.
Just that the game's over.
Yes.
Everybody's waiting
for
that.
Everybody wants the bracket.
First and 10 from the 29. Quarterback keeper. Phillips crosses the 30. 3-yard pickup to the 32. We're on the road next week. We're in Cleveland, where W&J's postseason hopes will either be enhanced or ended.
Or dashed. Let's hope we get a better result than 2 years ago when we were there.
Wind continues to whip around here at what used to be called College Field. It's Cameron Stadium. Upgrades about 20 years ago here. Running play goes nowhere.
Kadosh Harris.
Owensby actually loses two. Tackles for loss this afternoon, a plenty.
Aiden Thomas was also in on that.
Maybe eight sacks, plus Owensby's tackled for a loss there. Hilliard, one play for negative yardage. Randolph, two runs for negative yardage. Two completed passes for negative yardage. Third down and 9 for the Bison from the 30. High snap, Phillips handles it, gets pressure, dumped the ball off, passes complete. Up over the 35, 40, and going to be good for a first down on the dump off to Hilliard.
Nice job by Phillips to hang in there and find a way to get the ball out to his open receiver.
Hilliard going to be spotted out of bounds at the 42, 12 yards on the pickup and the first down. Hilliard, second catch of the year. First and 10 from the 42. Phillips has time now. Rolls, slides to his right, throws sideline ball. It's caught out near midfield. A tackle made in W&J territory on the Owensby catch. Game clock down to 4:25 to play in the third. W&J up 41-0, led 34-0 at the half. A 14-yard pickup moves the sticks. Bison first and 10. Motion to the far side is Ray Adamas. Team's leading receiver. Running play up the middle off first contact. Going to get 4, maybe 5 yards.
Broke 2 tackles.
Owensby running hard there. Picks up 5. Second down and 5 now. Ball at the W&J 39-yard line. Phillips, pressure right in his face, throws it back the other way and had Hilliard for all kind of yardage, but had to get rid of it too quick.
He had to. He was just under so much pressure. Rob Sherman beating down on him. Kadosh Harris was coming down hard.
Third down and 5 at the W&J 41-yard line. Phillips now 8 of 14 passing. A couple of interceptions. Hilliard resets and goes in motion. Pressure right up the gut, pass underthrown. Going to be a catch and another completion for a loss of yardage. And now the back judge from 25 yards away runs in and says it's an incomplete pass.
Big pressure by Aiden Thomas there.
So it's 4th and 5. Sherman and Volamino with interceptions today, giving the Presidents 5 picks on the season. Bethany facing 4th and 5 at the WJ 41-yard line. Two receivers come wide to the near side. Phillips looks the field over, pass is incomplete, intercepted. There are flags down and the ball's loose as well.
WJ probably recovered it. I don't know what the flags were.
I think Sam Coleman had the interception. I'm thinking holding on Bethany.
That's where it usually is called.
Let's see who got the ball out of this scramble.
Let's see how inventive the referees can get on this one.
Presidents have the football. Get the indications from Ryan Novosel. Officials talking about the penalties, and I think everybody is of the opinion that it is against Bethany. May have been a hold just to try to keep Phillips upright. Novosel about to let the crowd know. It is offensive holding. That penalty will be declined. The interception will stand. Sam Coleman joins the pick party.
I think we're going to see a whole bunch of new players. Yep, Kellen Stahl's coming in. Cam Mulvey, I think. Mulvey's going to come in here. Yep.
First and 10 Presidents. Stahl hands the ball off, spinning around Cam Mulvaney. Out across the 40 to the 41. Mulvaney, dozen carries on the year.
Hunter Bennett's in a tight end.
First run of the day for Mulvaney, obviously. 3-yard pickup. I don't have room on my sheets for all these guys.
Get ready. You still got another quarter.
Stahl flushed out of the pocket. Flag down from the center official. Going to be an offensive holding call. Stahl scrambles out of bounds up to around the 45-yard line. It might have been the center, Trevor Manley, called for the hold.
I think that's the guy who was caught.
Second down now and 17 for the red and black. And we'll be on the road at Case Western Reserve next week. W&J dump off complete on a little screen. Mulvaney got some of the penalty yardage back, but going to be marked down back at the original line of scrimmage, the 38.
Soto Stadium. DeSanto Stadium, I'm sorry. Been there so many times.
Third down and 10 now for WJ from the 38. Stahl drops and rolls right. Get protection. Sideline ball is juggled, tipped around, and it's going to be ruled incomplete. That ball in and out of the hands of the intended receiver, Jensen Perkovich, and then in and out of the hands of the defender who dropped it on the way to the ground.
There were 3 guys that could have caught that ball.
So it'll be 4th and 10 and punt formation for the Presidents. Oh, 1:21 to play in this third quarter. Second punt of the day for Devin Wyatt, a 35-yard high hanging kick that resulted in a fair catch. No pressure. Wyatt gets a spiral, kicks it away from the return man. Ball hits inside the 35, bounces inside the 30, and the Presidents will down it there. It'll be about the 27-35 on that punt with no return. 1:08 to play here in the third, and the Bison taking over.
All right, Robert, I think your bracket's up.
Pull your mic up there a little bit, partner.
I think your bracket's up in 1A.
All right. That's what I'm hearing. Carmichael's is not in. That's really... For Green County folks, going to be hard to swallow. Running play, Hilliard right side from the 27. Gave a little ground and gets back only to the line of scrimmage.
Let me make this prediction. As long as the Tri-County South is as it is, which is established by the WPL, they will never get a wild card. Ever.
Fort Cherry home to Brentwood. Bentworth is at Canavan. Southside at Jefferson Morgan. Second down and 10. And a loss of a yard on this run. And that could well be the final play of the third quarter. Hilliard, no gain on first down. Minus one here on second. And the Bison standing hands on hips. They're in no hurry. And the Presidents will oblige. The last thing you want to do is extend this game if you're W&J no. And if you're Bethany. You both won it over. So, end of three. W&J 41. Bethany nothing. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patrisic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golick and me this week for an NFC matchup between Dallas and San Francisco. Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and the 49ers fell to 3-4 last week. Now they host Dak Prescott and a 3-3 Cowboys team, also off to a rough start. But they are coming off their bye week. Should be a fun one. Don't miss any of the action on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA, AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Bethany, third down and 11. Bison at their own 26-yard line. Phillips flushed out of the pocket and just lofts it to the W&J bench. The incomplete pass will bring up fourth down.
He had nowhere else, nothing else he could do there. Rush was strong. Nobody open. I just have a question. Did 3-6 Rochester get in, Buff?
I don't have it.
Okay.
Fourth down, punt formation for the Bison. I have W&J with 455 yards total offense. This punt end over end, very short. Going to hit it midfield and go out of bounds at about the 48-yard line.
Man, we're having a rough day. I'll answer my own question. Yes, 3-6 Rochester got in.
Rochester is in at 3-6, and Carmichael's at 5-3 is not. Okay. That will... Well, it's not right.
No, I'm going to tell you this. I think there's a couple teams that have that are traditionally strong that are playing next week shouldn't be playing. Okay? And so now, with those guys picking, if you're traditionally good and you don't do very well in the air, you're going to have a great advantage because you're traditionally good. That doesn't have one thing to do with this year.
You
It's ridiculous. And the school that I attended and an alumni from is one of the ones that got advantage of this.
First and 10 from the 49-yard line. Running play down the near sideline. Andrew Sharp taken to the boundary. Out of bounds at the Bethany 24.
Yeah, he got to the boundary easy.
For Sharp, 25 yards. That's almost half of what he's run for all season long.
He had a whole lot of running room right there.
Get another chance and just get back to the line of scrimmage.
Sharp carries once again for WJ.
Sharp, 5'10", 200-pound freshman out of Baldwin.
Yes, Bob, he does have a run further than that. He had a 42-yard run that wasn't credited to him, and it has never been fixed.
Oh. Sharp takes a handoff, tried to come wide to check that Don Barca, the ball carrier there, and he tried to go wide and ends up with a gain of just two. Third down and eight at the 22-yard line. WJ up 41-0. Kellen Stahl rolls near side, going to get hit and taken down and around the 20-yard line. Stahl going to get 2 yards on that run, and it will bring up fourth down and about six.
If he'd have got a block from Marcus Lawson, who ran down the field and ran by a defender, he probably gets the first down easy.
Just under 13 minutes to play in the ball game. WJ up 41-0. Stahl to pass. Rolls to his right. Now back to the left. Pass is caught and out of bounds near the 13-yard line. Going to be a first down on the reception by Zach Seaman. His sixth catch of the year. At the 13, picked up seven. Needed six. Moves the sticks.
Yeah, Kellen did a good job. He had some options. He was just looking around. He finally found the open man.
Running play going wide to the right side. Inside the 10 and down to about the 5.
Looks like that was Sean.
That's Curry.
Yeah, yep. Sean Curry.
Sean Curry carries 4 seconds.
Curry gets to the 5, so 8 yards there, second and 2. Curry gets the call again, got to the 4, and is taken backwards and then down. Third down and a yard to go. W&J at the Bethany 4-yard line. Stahl hands off, running play right side to the 3, to the 2, to the 1. The rugby scrum going to be ruled stopped.
Why?
I don't know why. Why do you blow the whistle? Play still moving forward. Andrew Sharp is going to get credit for the for carry to pick up a first down. But
it's amazing to me that you could stop the play.
Sharp goes right side.
Nope. Oh, yeah.
And didn't get in. I do believe that was Andrew Sharp.
Took him away.
Yep, going to get the touchdown.
Took him a while to make the call.
And for Andrew Sharp, his first rushing touchdown of his college career.
You'll remember that one.
Everybody got to start somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
PAT attempt. Good snap, good hold, and a much better looking kick. 11:01 to play in the ball game. WJ 48, Bethany nothing. Kickoff on on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents!
This is Coach Guy Monicalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
11 minutes and 1 second remain here in week 8. Kickoff taken back at the 4-yard line by Blake Adams. Adams ran almost face mask to face mask into a teammate who had gotten spun around trying to block. And Adams is stopped at the 22. The 1A bracket Fort Cherry is hosting Brentwood, Cornell at Leechburg, Jeanette at Neshanic, Manesson at Greensburg Central Catholic, Rochester at Clairton, California travels to Laurel, Bentworth at Bishop Canavan, and Southside at Jefferson Morgan. First and 10, Bison from their own 22-yard line. Running play designed to go left. Cutback move, going to pick up a couple of yards. Not to Owens be able to get to the 25. Good job by the President's defense here this afternoon. Prior to that carry, Bethany had 6 net rushing yards.
Yeah, it's been some tough sledding for the Bisons.
Owensby, 9 carries for 25, but quarterback Brett Phillips, 16 for minus 9. Randolph, minus 3. Hilliard, minus 4. Hilliard gets the call, and he's going to pick up a yard forward. And third down and 6 for the Bison.
I think it was Kevin Sullivan on the tackle.
Just a note, next week it's a 1 o'clock kickoff in Cleveland. President's football preview, as always, half hour ahead of kick, so we'll be on the air at 12:30 here on WJPA AM in Washington, also online at WJPA.com and the WJPA Sports Network. 9:35 and counting. Third down and 6 for the Bison. Flushed out. Phillips trying to spin a rama. Keep getting pressure. Block.
Now.
Pass downfield.
And now we get the flag. You know what, Bob? This is ridiculous. The guy sits there and looks at it. He doesn't call it. And then Phil Bobich has to scream because it was a blindside block. And then he calls it.
And completion out to the 43-yard line, but. Yeah, you cannot block an opponent when you're running at the goal line from which you're leaving.
No, and he has to be chided by the WJ. There's no foul on him, but. Well, Phil's ready to lose his mind. If there was no foul on him, play, why didn't you weren't going to call it anyway, and then you call it.
And now Mike wants an explanation.
Well, absolutely, because somebody can get hurt very bad.
And that's why that play has been outlawed. Jack, who had the reception, by the way? Can you check that for me? It's a Bethany first down out to the 43-yard line. And the President's use a timeout because Mike wants the ear of Ryan Novosel.
Oh, he's getting it.
And he's going to get Steve Hoover's ear as well. And it was Hoover and Novosel's conversation that led to it being wiped out. It's the completion to Elijah Moffitt.
He's now holding Phil Bobich back, too, because Phil's
he said enough right now.
Well, Novosel told Bobich that before, because Bobich was clear out halfway to the numbers.
Oh, he'll fight for his kids.
Well, but as an assistant coach, officials are not going to listen to it.
You're right, and I agree with that.
The completion takes the ball out to the 43, despite the blindside block by Bethany that was flagged and then waved off.
Well, it wasn't flagged.
Oh, it wasn't flagged.
And then
was Phil flagged.
Protested, he flagged him.
And then they white wave it off. First and 10 from the 43. Pass play to the left. Got to be a hold out there on the edge. And then aiding the runner. Boy, there are two fouls right there. The defender trying to get to defend the pass got grabbed by the jersey. And then the runner stumbles and a teammate grabs him from behind and lifts him up and pulls him forward.
Who evaluates these people?
Well, this completion good for 2 yards, and I apologize, I didn't see who the reception was made by. But we're at the 45-yard line. WJ up 48-0, but you don't want to see a game devolve like this. Phillips dumps the ball off. It's caught. Moffitt dives forward and going to get to the 46-yard line and move the sticks.
And Coach Mike is all over him for a bad block. They don't want to hear it. Okay, they're not. They're going to let somebody going to get hurt from WJ.
Third catch of the day for Moffitt unofficially. First and 10 at the WJ 46. Brett Phillips hanging in there. Has been pummeled as the quarterback. Running play by Hilliard. And he fights inside the 36. Going to get about 10 yards on that carry. And a WJ player shaken up. And with that, we'll take a timeout as well. 8:07 to play in the fourth. WJ 48, Bethany nothing. Back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
My dream field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My dream field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My dream field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
8:07 to play here in our fourth quarter. WJ injured player being helped to the near side. I believe that's Luke Zilka out of Latrobe.
You know, we look ahead next week, Bob. We don't know that much about Case.
Well,
you really don't know, because they haven't played anybody of substance yet.
Yeah, you certainly don't know how good they are. You know they're undefeated coming into today, and you know they're good.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
You don't know how good, because you have no measuring stick other than the bottom six in the league.
I know they have a really good coach, and I know the quarterback is really good. And they're always tough, but we just don't know what they're like in against quality competition.
First and 10, Bethany at the WJ 36. Phillips hands to Hilliard. Hilliard forward for a couple of yards. Here's another thing, John, and I'm just going to throw this out. Is this the last WJ Case Western PAC meeting?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. Case was caught off his guard as much as anybody else was when CMU decided to move to Centennial.
Second and seven, Hilliard gets the call again, and he's down to about the 25, and will move the sticks again. That's four first downs on this possession. I don't know. Washington University has moved to the is moving to the NCAC. Well,
they forced them. That where they were playing forced them out.
Hilliard around the left end, hit behind the line, and does get the leg churn to pick up about a yard on the play. Good edge defense.
Think this out about Case. They know that next year, if they come back, WJ and Grove City and maybe Westminster are going to be the top teams. If they go the other way, they're staring at John Carroll and Mount Union. And I don't think John Carroll.
Carroll's,
that's right, Carroll's leaving it.
Yep.
So that takes that one out, too.
6:15 to play in our ball game. WJ up 48-0. Little high snap. Phillips hands to Hilliard. Hilliard ran out of a tackle inside the 20 and taken down at about the 10-yard line. Should be first and goal for the Bethany Bison. Hilliard with 28 yards rushing in the second half. Bunch of it on this possession. First and goal at the 10. Adamus motions to the left. Phillips waits for him to set. Now calls for the snap. Hands to Hilliard. He'll run left side. Hilliard got to about the 6 before being corralled. 4-yard run there for the sophomore out of Avonworth. Bison's first. Oh, sorry for stepping on your foot there. Bison's ones are all still out there. Presidents are now 3 and 4 deep defensively. Bethany trying to drive 78 yards to get on the scoreboard. Phillips rolls right, throws end zone, and open for the touchdown. Bison get on the board. Reception. Todd Airy. How do you get from Los Angeles, California, to Bethany, West Virginia? Airy with a 6-yard TD reception. 9th touchdown of the year thrown by Phillips. Also thrown 3 picks today, which gives him 10 of those. Aries' first TD reception of the year. The Bison, I think, are going to use a timeout. 4:42 to play in the ball game. So Bethany gets on the board, moves 78 yards in a dozen plays. J up 48-6. Just to note, those of you high school stuff, we will get those posted to make our broadcast decisions. But traditionally, we would be looking, being in the city of Washington and looking out our front window at Trinity, where those would be our traditional broadcast picks. And I would be somewhat surprised if we don't go that way. Peters Township will be off in the first round with a bye. Fort Cherry is home with Brentwood. Bentworth is at Bishop Canavan. And California travels to Laurel. Extra point attempt. Liam Gallagher has hit 7 of 9. The Bisons have not scored very often. They get this touchdown, and now the Gallagher extra point is good as the wind picks back up here on Park Avenue. And we'll keep it here as the teams come back up the field. Get an update on the Bentworth girls soccer action this afternoon. Their boys already into the WPIL semis. Match is not yet posted as final. WJ 48, Bethany 7. Presidents stuck their nose into the national rankings at both the coaches poll and the D3football.com poll.
I'm going to take great interest. Hopefully I'll be able to watch a little bit of Westminster and Case Western. I don't think Westminster is going to have enough offense to deal with Case, but we'll see. They're really good defensively.
Presidents only have 10 guys out on the kick-receive team. Now they walk one off the bench. If you're Bethany, you onside here?
No.
No. And they will kick it deep. Just asking. Kick right up into the sun, taken at the 15-yard line. Return over the 20 to the 25. Reverse field, give ground, and fool around and find out, right? Run the wrong direction, get tackled from behind. You better be really fast if you change directions and start running the way the guy was already going full speed.
Really fast.
Presidents will take over and do their best to make 4 minutes and 35 seconds disappear. Yeah, new quarterback in for the red and black. It'll be Campbell Pivnik, 6'1", 195-pounder out of Roseland, New Jersey.
That's a magical name right there. Pivnik.
Ball carried by Mulvaney for 2 yards. Yeah, the family part of few wins here over the years, eh?
Just a couple.
A couple of runs on the day for Cam Mulvaney. Going to get the call again and bust a little bigger one up over the 35 to the 39-yard line on a first down. WJ first downs on the day now. Carry across the 40. Gain of about 4 to the 43. Officials on the far side are going to stop the action because there's a problem with the chains. And I'm telling you, one of these days, I am going to be incredibly wealthy.
They're already working on it.
I think I can beat them to it, John.
I've been told that there is some kind of operation that will be similar to Wimbledon's, that they won't even have to use sticks anymore.
Here's the thing. They have tape measures that tell you how far, by lasers, how far a distance is. You set it to go to 10 yards, and you drop a marker down there. That's it. We can make this work. We can be wealthy and retire. Jack, who had to carry their partner? Sharp on the run for no gain. Barca, thank you. So third down and 6. The 43, Pivnik pass, low and dropped. All right, ball could have been, should have been caught. just was not by Don Barca.
Yeah, that should have been caught. No question.
And now, upcoming fourth down.
What would you be most worried about going into next week about this game? If you're W&J.
Pass defense.
Fromberg's tough.
Presidents walk a player off the bench, lonely end there, and they go ahead and punt the ball away. I've seen that play work where there's a pass thrown.
Yes. Uh-oh.
And they're going to get flagged for it. He did not get inside the...
It is a penalty.
It is the lonely end, and that play that we saw that day in high school is exactly why that's a penalty. You gotta be seen.
I only heard it. I didn't get to see it. I was in Ithaca, New York, waiting for WJ to play Ithaca the following afternoon. But I know all about it, believe me.
Substitution infraction should be marked off on the at the end of the kick, I do believe. So the punt will go to the 18. But the illegal substitution. Bethany will take over with 2:10 to play. Ball at the 23-yard line. First and 10, running play going backwards. A little delay handoff by Phillips. And boy, about the time Owensby got the ball and put his left foot on the ground, he was getting tackled. Somebody took a timeout. Oh, it's the two-minute timeout. Somebody did. So Owensby loses a yard on the run. We'll take a timeout as well. WJ 48, Bethany 7 back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
2 minutes to play in the ball game, and it has been W&J from 49 seconds in. First play from scrimmage for no gain. 66-yard TD pass to John Peduzzi, and Presidents have not really looked back since.
Almost pillar to post.
Did lose Peduzzi to a leg injury. But, certainly keep our eyes on as the week progresses. He's a guy you're going to want in the lineup at the Case Western. Owensby with a carry again, trying to go around the left side this time, and Ian Novelli says, I got you right here. Tackled at the line of scrimmage, no gain.
Want and need, Peduzzi.
Third down and 11 for the Bison as we're down to 90 seconds remaining. Great to have you along this afternoon. And again, we apologize for the tech issues during President's football preview. Those will be all squared away when if you click on to listen or download the archives. But we apologize for that problem. Pass play on third and 11. Ball thrown behind Elijah Moffitt, the intended receiver. And it will bring up fourth down, and the Bison going to run the punt unit on.
Might as well just go for it. WJ will down the ball.
.108 to play. Do our best to get you final stats check. Big day for Jake Pugh for as long as it lasted anyway. Now the Bison run a player in on punt unit off the bench, and he gets counted because he came clear across the hash marks into the middle of the field. Pressure coming, kick is blocked. The President's had four guys get through the, not only the line, but the personal protectors. And now with the blocked punt, I think that's the President's third this year. And I guess they'll, my guess is they'll just kneel it down here, and Bethany's got a player shaken up, and that's Cole McCabe, their starting right guard. 6'2", 285-pound sophomore, going to need attention.
Oh, man.
We have seen some really struggles, significant struggles on special teams through the presidents. Their punt block unit's done a great job this year.
That's their best one. That's their best.
You know, we've had trouble covering kicks, protecting for kicks. Had a punt block return for a touchdown against the presidents this year. That actually almost stood the Westminster game on its ear. The W&J had the lead. That changed the whole complexion of that game. The Presidents had enough to rally and go ahead and get the win. Or, you know, we'd be already talking about 25. Cole McCabe to his feet. Will walk off under his own power. And, again, almost certainly W&J's going to kneel it down here.
Yeah, I'm not sure why those guys went after that like that.
Pivnik to take the shotgun snap. Well, they're not going to kneel it down. Going to run a play right side. Gets down to about the 11. I believe that's Sharp, the ball carrier. And now W&J will snap it one more time and will be under the 40-second mark. Running play coming wide left. Stiff arm to avoid that, and it's Curry. And Curry going to pick up a couple of yards, and he's going down at the 8-yard line. And that is going to be it as the parade starts across at the 50-yard stripe. And now we'll end it.
It's not over for that young man. W.J., he's hurt.
Curry, the ball carrier, actually got put down on his head, and maybe a leg problem in that. But the clock has gone to zero, and W.J. will win here convincingly this afternoon. Final score, W.J. 48, Bethany 7. Get some final thoughts and hopefully some final individual numbers when we come back here on the WJPA Sports Network.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a Best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
This is Coach Guy Monicalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Ryan Rack here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golick and me this week for an NFC matchup between Dallas and San Francisco. Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and the 49ers fell to 3-4 last week. Now they host Dak Prescott and a 3-3 Cowboys team, also off to a rough start. But they are coming off their bye week. Should be a fun one. Don't miss any of the action on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
All eyes on the middle of the field here. After the handshake line, there were a couple of Bethany players and a couple of W&J players who were continuing a conversation, and coaches for both sides end that discussion and make sure that nothing goes beyond discussion at that point. But fortunately, that has separated. W&J 48-7 win here this afternoon. So with the win, the Presidents stay at worst a game back of the lead, and they play the leader next week. Case Western will be no worse than in a tie for the top spot, and it could well be all alone a game up on the field as they sit right now. Case coming into the day at 6-0, W&J, Grove City, Carnegie Mellon, Westminster, all with one loss. The PAC champion is coming out of that group, and W&J has given themselves a chance with the win against Grove City last week and the victory here again this afternoon to go on and now go to Cleveland and see if they can't pull themselves and maybe a whole bunch of other people into a first-place tie.
It could be. Well, that's what they're after. I mean, it would be very interesting tonight if Westminster won and there were five teams with one loss. That would be really interesting. But, yeah, their focus now has to be Case Western. Case Western has a really good head coach, great double jack, and great quarterback, and an outstanding receiver. It's going to be quite a challenge, and that's not an easy place to play, as you know. But you know, they'll get it back up emotionally. They didn't have a lot of emotion today, and that probably led to some of the turnovers, but they got done what they needed to get done. And I think they got out of this pretty healthy, because I don't think that Peduzzi's injury is going to be something that keeps him out of next week's game.
Yeah, he seems to have that mindset that it might have to be amputation level to keep him out of a game. It's not Matt Sapinski pain threshold. But
well, that's not even.
But
that's not even reachable.
But Peduzzi, he's not going to miss the game. If he can walk, he's not going to miss the game.
No,
week.
He'll be out. I wish we were taking Sapinski.
We could. He doesn't have any eligibility left.
No, right? I know that. But you imagine him and Dietz together.
Well, as you said, imagine Dietz and Bladel together.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
263 passes, yards passing this afternoon. Jake Pugh, 11 of 13 for 263 and four first half touchdowns. He's now at somewhere around 2,400 passing yards on the season, plus 31 touchdown passes for the year. Jake McCosco, another big day receiving, 7 grabs, 172 yards, and touchdowns 10 and 11 through the air. Peduzzi got TD number 11, second play of the game, a 66-yard catch and score. McCosco, 7 grabs. Peduzzi had 2, and nobody else had more than one on the afternoon, but really a dominant performance through three quarters. Bethany had 6 yards rushing. Now, they added to those numbers in that fourth quarter, including on their way to their only touchdown of the day. And Bethany now at 0-7 on the year. John, the Bison have 1 rushing touchdown. 1.
That's hard
for the
believe.
Season.
That's hard to believe.
And you can't. Boy, in the whatever the conversation is with at least one Bethany player is still going on.
Well, that's all it is, one.
Well, now he has lost his jersey and shoulder pads, and he is trying to get to the W&J bench area.
Well, I don't think it's the whole bench. I think it's one guy.
Well, a couple of people have him. At least slowed down, but I can't tell you what happened, but you know things get hot at times, but don't know exactly what happened, but young man is visibly upset here this afternoon. Also want to mention the passing numbers for Pugh. Owen Patricic with a 10-carry, 89-yard afternoon, his third rushing touchdown of the season. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Appreciate that. Coverage today brought to you by Community Bank, recognized as one of America's best regional banks, online at cb.bank. By Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation and Advanced Surgical Hospital. And attorney John Patricic, with nearly 30 years of experience, giving your case the attention it deserves. It's off to Cleveland next week, as we'll be on the air at 12:30 for a 1 o'clock kickoff, W&J against Case Western Reserve.
I just want to add one thing. That was an individual problem. You got three or four conversations out here between W&J and Bethany players. That just happened. I don't want to paint the wrong picture here. There's nothing bad that happened here.
Yeah.
We had a couple guys that were upset with each other.
Yeah. And that could come from one play. And, you know, just whatever happened, fortunately, coaches and other personnel have those two involved, separated, and off to their own sides. And as you said, John, and you know, we saw this last week too. Number of conversations.
Oh, there was at least 10 or 12 out there last week.
Yep, and players who've played against, played with each other, et cetera, and now you get two guys standing at the 45-yard line getting pictures taken together from both sides. So, you know, that's the way college athletics are supposed to be, right there.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Particularly at this level, it doesn't mean winning's not important, but. But, you know, the game's over, and you shake hands, and you get on after it after that. College football Division One coming your way here in just minutes. Missouri at Alabama. We'll have that game thanks to Westwood One coming your way in just a moment. Big thanks to Jacob Knisner, our producer in our downtown Washington studios, to Jason Tennant and Nate Rigotti keeping us posted on the bracket announcements from the WPIL. We'll have all that posted for you on WJPA.com in just a little bit as well. From Cameron Stadium, your final score, WJ 48, Bethany 7. For John Sacco and all of us at WJPA Sports, I'm Bob Gregg. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been a presentation of the WJPA Sports Network.